Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, we knew we had him coming on a couple days ago, but I like to surprise the listeners. So out of the gates for the first 30 minutes of the live transmission today, Lou Dobbs, of course, syndicated radio host, former CNN host, host of Lou Dobbs Tonight on Fox Business Channel, one of their number one programs over there, is our guest for the next 30 minutes. And I can't wait to pick his brain and get his take on the economy, the new war in Libya, the inflation. Who is Glenn Beck's replacement going to be? Could it be Lou Dobbs or Andrew Napolitano? I hear they're certainly being looked at right now from some of the Fox insiders. But I know we're going to discuss it all. But in this short few minutes we have in this opening segment, Lou, of all the things going on, what do you think is most important in the world today? What's number one on your radar screen?
Well, number one, first of all, Alex, great to be with you again and have an opportunity to talk with you about these issues. The number one issue, as far as I'm concerned right now, is restoring the rule of the majority to our government and making certain this great constitutional republic is led and conducts itself in concert with our national values and ideals, whether we're talking about foreign policy, whether we're talking about the wars that are underway in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Libya, or whether we're talking about how to restore prosperity to this country and to create jobs and wealth and to get this great country moving.
Well, when you talk about the Constitution under assault, undoubtedly, out of the gates, going back now 4 weeks ago, the UN comes out and says we have a resolution to start bombing Libya, and the president didn't even consult with Congress. At least Bush went and got a resolution for force.
Exactly, and by the way, the man whom this president is a candidate accused of being a unilateralist went before the United Nations and got their approval, support, and cooperation, as well as the United States Congress, and they did it twice, both in Afghanistan and Iraq. The contradiction is stunning on the part of Mr. Obama.
And now it's a stalemate, and they say it's not going well, so there's more and more discussions by top generals of putting ground troops in, not just CIA advisors.
Unfortunately, that's exactly right, and the military analysts with whom I've spoken and a number of former generals who are very close to obviously the general staff of the Pentagon, saying point blank that they cautioned this administration against taking on Muammar Gaddafi and opening hostilities against Libya, and now they are cautioning against the ground troops because they have said from the outset that nothing can be assured without our forces on the ground. And as we know, whether it's particularly the instance of Afghanistan, Alex, we know that doesn't assure a timely outcome either.
No, it certainly doesn't, and that's four different major conflicts: Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, and now Libya.
Right.
And we have the French pouring into the Ivory Coast, removing one thug, and now openly installing the other rebel leader, who they admit's been running around with his people with machetes, chopping up men, women, and children.
Yeah, the involvement of the French in the Ivory Coast, wherever the French have gone over history, as you well know, they have left independent nations that were former French colonies in horrible shape, the Ivory Coast being exploited by the West for its natural resources, most prominently oil. This is a mess, and whether one styles it as NATO or the French and the United Kingdom or the United States and NATO or just the United States, somebody needs to take a very deep breath and say, wait a minute, is this who America is? Is this who Americans are? Is this the nation that we want to be? And I think most Americans would say absolutely not.
Absolutely. The polls show that. Lou Dobbs, host of Lou Dobbs Tonight on Fox Business Network, loudobbs.com. We'll be right back with him to continue along this important line of discussion, these UN wars. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
It is Friday, the 15th day of April 2011, and we've got a real treat as far as those that want to know what's really happening in the world, with a wide breadth of analysis on the economy, geopolitical developments. He was one of the founding members there at CNN when it kicked off in the early 1980s. He, of course, needs no introduction, Lou Dobbs, and he's the host at 7 p.m. Eastern on Fox Business Network of Lou Dobbs Tonight. He also, from 2 p.m. Eastern on, also hosts a very successful syndicated radio broadcast. The website's loudobbs.com. Of course, our websites are Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and GCNLive.com. And there's a host of issues. Donald Trump, you know, does Lou think he's really going to run? Has Lou heard any word about who's going to be replacing Glenn Beck during that slot? What's his take on inflation, the budget? We're going to cover it all with Lou Dobbs here today. But out of the gates, Lou, going back a decade or more, I remember watching you on CNN. You're the real trailblazer on mainline cable television. You were just going off their own statements, the UN's own statements, the Council on Foreign Relations' own statements about a supranational, private, corporate, banking world government, eroding national sovereignty, media matters, George Soros. Others really targeted you when you did it in a very level-headed, well-documented way. You know, really, you're the precursor on mainline TV of some of the things Beck did in a little bit more, you know, carnival-type way. And I mean, I don't mean that meanly. It's
I understand.
And so here you are completely vindicated. You were always vindicated because you were just going off the documents and the elitist own statements. But now open announcements every day in the Washington Post, Financial Times of London, global government, private banking system, end of the dollar, Obama following the orders of the UN, not even consulting Congress to start this new war. Now they're talking about ground troops. What is it like a decade after you began to be the first to expose this on mainline TV, to be demonized, to be attacked, to have somebody shoot at your house, to go through all of this, to expose the North American Union, and now it's almost passé, but you were demonized for it?
And of course, as you know, Alex, that's the reflex of the left in this country, and I expect to, you know, to be attacked for, you know, taking positions that aren't popular with the left, and that's fine, because my interest is America and Americans, and you know that is just where I, you know, that's where I happen to reside intellectually, emotionally, physically. And I make no apology for being an American who's concerned most about America and America. It's that straightforward. And to see whether, and what my great concern in all of this over the years, though, has been, you know, aside from a position on any one of these developments, so that our audience understands that when we make a deal with the United Nations, when we sign on to the World Trade Organization, when we, for that matter, when we're part of NATO, we are at some margin, at some level, and in some cases, at an extreme level, consigning away this nation's sovereignty. And we are deferring national interest to a broader interest, whether it be a European interest, whether it be a global interest, or whether it be an Asian interest. It doesn't matter. But our leaders, our elite, have on too many occasions sought to obfuscate that reality. And to act, to pretend as though there's no consequence or implication for the well-being of the American people or the national interest. And I find that to be not only hypocrisy, but frankly, un-American.
Lou Dobbs is our guest. Lou, when you, over the last decade, talk about globalists, talk about elitists, you would put up quotes from the Council on Foreign Relations, from Robert Pastor, from the internal SPP documents that Judicial Watch sued and got, and then Judicial Watch and others you had on your show had the documents, but still Media Matters and others would imply it was a conspiracy theory. But from your research, who are these international interests? Who are these elitists, and what is their overall goal? And from your research, why is that basically in direct opposition to the interest of our free republic?
Well, let me answer the latter part first, if I may, Alex. And that is this free republic, this great constitutional republic, is utterly dependent on an informed citizenry and an engaged and participatory citizen. And what is occurring now is a constraint of information. One would think that given the internet, all of the various media, and all of the vehicles of communication, that American citizens would be better informed than ever, know far more about the public policy choices that are being made, whether it's in Congress, whether it's in the bureaucracy of the executive, whether it's in the judiciary. But in point of fact, we know less today than we did 50 years ago about what our government is doing. And the reasons for it are many, but among them has been a decision among elites. And by the way, I'm talking about, frankly, both political parties in one way or another being involved in an effort to simply preside rather than to represent, and to do so with a view that they somehow are ordained to lead rather than dependent upon the consent of the governed. So when we start talking about the elites that are, if you will, not necessarily conspiring, but certainly acting as if they were in collusion and concert to create the North American Union, it's an empirical statement. It's based on fact. It's not a question of ideology. It's not a question of philosophy or partisanship. The reality is the Security and Prosperity Partnership is the foundation and was intended as a foundation to bring three countries together, Mexico, the United States, and Canada. And that harmonization, as they like to call it, and I'm talking about the elites of the United States military and that of the Canadians and Mexico, our business elites, our political elites, and frankly, they're represented again by both political parties, are working to bring about not only a customs union, not only a common currency, but an actual consolidation of three nations into one.
Well, that's what's so frustrating, is that you are covering real information, like if you were a weatherman and a thunderstorm blew through and the water measuring meter said an inch and a half of rain fell, and you're sitting there with the rain gauge showing the rain. Everybody knows this is happening. And then they're moving forward, these elites, with these programs, but then they have no respect for the general public and play this deceptive game of saying Lou Dobbs is lying to you, when we have this ruling political international class that, as you said, tries to rule by deception and doesn't want the people involved governing through their representatives.
Yeah, you use the word rule. I would use the word attempt to influence. The effect in some instances may be the same, Alex, but what we are truly watching is an effort on the part of a group of elites worldwide who wish to bring about a one world order. It may not be particularly a new world order, since the effort has been underway for some time, but that is one of the tensions that's obviously at work in our global society.
And you look at this global order they're trying to establish, it's very undemocratic. It is against sovereignty. It is always openly anti-family. Anything that is independent, anything that they can't control, they want us dependent. That's what these elites want, these mega corporations that aren't free market. That's their goal. I want to read to you a headline, if we can put it back on screen. And I first saw this in the news in 2002, and when I would cover it, even in the Washington Post as a footnote, people couldn't believe it. But here is the Ottawa Citizen, one of the big papers in Canada, for those that don't know, February 22nd, 2008. This is 3 years ago. And there's new articles on this as well as part of the Continental Security Perimeter. And it says, Canada-U.S. agree to use each other's troops in civil emergencies. And if you read the Pentagon agreement with Canada and Mexico, it says we will aid each other during civil unrest. So, and I've had generals on who are retired that say, yes, this has been in the works for a long time,
right,
to use foreign troops in America and vice versa. I mean, it doesn't get any more crazy or New World Order than that.
And it is, again, for the very reason you stated, it is not a matter of public knowledge. It is not a part of the consciousness of American society and the voting public. And this reflex that has grown up over the course of the last, particularly the last 30 years in this country, speaking only about America, that either political party, leaders, elected leaders of this country, would in any way seek to deny a larger body of public knowledge is to be contemptible. And the national media has too often worked as not only a willing but an eager accomplice, particularly to the left and the Democratic Party itself. I mean, when you look at the Washington Post, the New York Times, ABC, CBS, NBC, Evening News, I mean, these are effectively, house organs for the Democratic Party. And that's unfortunate because we need watchdogs in our fourth estate, not lapdogs. And unfortunately, most of the national liberal media is actually focused on performing that role of lapdog and helper rather than watchdog.
Well, that was my next issue. As the establishment media kind of circles the wagons with the political class, we're seeing Jay Rockefeller, we're seeing Lieberman, we're seeing all these statements, Cass Sunstein, about restricting the free press, fairness doctrine, taxes on what they call conspiracy theories, things that they, and Cass Sunstein, of course, the regulations are listed, not believing in man-made global warming. Well, we see Arianna Huffington saying, how do we shut down Fox News? How do we shut down Glenn Beck? We see 2 weeks ago in Politico, I don't know if you saw it, the chilling memos from the head of Media Matters saying we are going to guerrilla infiltrate with spies and organizations. We're going to destroy not just Fox News, but this list of conservative sites. And you go there, you're being demonized, I'm being demonized, Judge Napolitano. I mean, these people aren't what even you'd call a liberal. I mean, they're more like Joe Stalin or something. I mean, they really are authoritarian and scary.
They are authoritarian in outlook and I think in value structure, which makes them extraordinarily dangerous, not necessarily to Fox News, but to the country. When media takes on a role that is utterly destructive in intent and purpose, and that is precisely what many of these advocacy organizations do, and they pretend to be some sort of watchdog organization, but they pretend to be performing that role when they are, in fact, advocacy and activist organizations. But the great thing, Alex, is that the American people are getting a very clear look at who and what they are and what their designs are. That's healthy for the nation, and I'm delighted to see that light shine very brightly on who they are and what they're up to.
Well, I don't want to spend all our time on that group, but, I mean, they are 501c3, and I know mild libertarian groups who have their 501c3 jerked for just getting involved, you know, in stating their opinion. How can they be a pure house organ of George Soros, openly calling for the end of free speech in America, and then be given 501c3? I mean, that is very discriminatory.
It's at the very least curious, and the use of 501c3s in our society is something I think that ought to be looked at, irrespective of the ideology or the intent. We have become a nation of nonprofits that are starting to supplant, in many ways, to me, Alex, traditionally the functions of government, particularly at the local or county and state level. I worry less about the federal level, honestly, the national level. But we need to understand what the implications are for all of these nonprofits that have grown up over the years. And they've grown up, by the way, they number in the millions. Some of them with the very best of purposes, but the fact is we are diluting our system of government through those nonprofits, NGOs, and other entities that have been created. I'd much prefer people turn to government for the services that should be
provided. Well, isn't that an unfair playing field, too? I mean, the UN model is these NGOs. I mean, here's an example. I want your take on this. Thousands of waivers handed out to Fortune 500, but even smaller groups that have given campaign contributions to the Democrats and Obama. With its hundreds of thousands of employees, McDonald's gets a waiver on buying insurance for its employees. Sure. But if this stuff gets implemented, I've got to get insurance for all of my employees, and I will take part of their check to do it. So isn't that an unfair trade advantage that a hamburger place right next to McDonald's, a mom and pop, they've got to get insurance, but McDonald's doesn't? So if you go, pay money to the emperor, he then waves his wand and gives you an unfair trade advantage?
I don't think there's any question about it whatsoever. It is not only unfair, but so transparently patronage that it's nauseating. When you look at the principal beneficiary of these waivers, the United Auto Workers Union. What is the principal beneficiary of these waivers? You go beyond that, it's the supporters of this administration. Who received the greatest amount of money, which, by the way, wasn't even revealed publicly by the administration or the Democratic leadership and Obamacare. The principal beneficiary of the early retirement support program, which amounts to $5 billion, goes to the United Auto Workers Union. So, I mean, it just goes on and on.
Incredible. A lot of other questions in the limited time we've got left for you. What do you see coming up in this next election? We see the $40 billion cut. Ron Paul has come out and said that it was all basically stuff that had already been agreed to cut and what was left over from highway funds. He's even saying Ryan's budget isn't going to fix things. If we don't stop the banker bailouts and deal with what the Federal Reserve's doing, monetizing the debt and devaluing the currency, that all of this is window dressing. Lou Dobbs is a real financial expert, decades in the trenches. What's your view on what's happening with the budget?
Well, I had the opportunity to talk with a congressman 2 days ago, and we discussed exactly these issues, Alex. And the congressman does question whether or not any of this is sufficient, given that there are larger issues in his views, and of course, principal among those, the Federal Reserve and the banking system. And the reforms that are necessary, it's unquestionable that we need to reform our banking system, that we need to take a very strong look and reorganize, in my judgment, the Federal Reserve. But that is a long-term effort. It's going to take years to accomplish. What I am so pleased with is that Congressman Paul Ryan has come forward with the boldest, most effective, in my opinion, budget plan to deal with deficits. Not the national debt, but deficit in history. Unfortunately, that's the kind of plan that is necessary because we've got, as you know, the greatest debt and the most tremendous deficits in our history. But he has, with an opening stake, set the bar very high. And as we watched, the president couldn't come close to it with a rather feeble fiscal policy speech that he gave at George Washington University Wednesday.
Well, Lou, as you know, Kennedy in one bracket cut taxes by 50% in 61, the other bracket 30-something percent, I forget the exact number, and tax receipts doubled. California's increased taxes and their tax receipts are going down. They're not stupid. Obviously, Obama and these collectivists want to wreck the economy so they can come in as the saviors and get more people to basically beach themselves, on their system by wrecking it. And now we have this chilling statement by Geithner today at CNBC. It's also CNN Fox's reporting, saying that if they don't basically increase the budget and raise the taxes, that Republicans will be to blame for the U.S. defaulting, right as 70% of the treasuries are now being monetized. I mean, this is this scares me that they're now positioning the Tea Party, i.e. Republicans and others, as being to blame for this. This is amazing. I mean, this shows me they think the default could be close.
Yeah, here's here's what it shows me, Alex. One, it shows me that our Treasury Secretary, Timothy Geithner, is somewhat limited, both in his outlook toward the consequences of a decision that would be taken not to raise the debt there. One. Two, it suggests to me that he has a relatively either limited knowledge of banking itself or the role of the federal government when it comes to the Treasury Department. There is no default is requisite or a logical conclusion to not raising the debt ceiling. Let me be very clear about that. There are choices to be made by the administration should the Congress elect not to raise the debt ceiling. None of those decisions require default. And anyone who says that it does is utterly and completely mistaken. And I would be delighted to have, step forward and explain themselves, because not a single person I respect with a knowledge of finance, public or corporate finance, will support that view.
Well, is it not
what's being spread by the media?
Mr. Dobbs, is it not a replay of what the central bankers did in October 2008 when they said, give us unlimited money or there'll be a depression? Right. I mean, is this not a form of economic terrorism to threaten default, which itself will hurt the dollar to get their way?
Alex, I think that your point is a terrific one. I think any time a public official and a servant of the American people stands up in Washington, D.C. and says that Armageddon is the result of a public policy choice that is not the one they desire, everyone in the national media should be skeptical and point out that position and where it stands historically. That isn't what's happening with this national media. Our national media, the liberal media, tends to think it's responsible somehow to act as an instrument of the state, and that's unfortunate.
Well, our time went quick. Let me say bye to you during this break, Lou. And I know you may have another interview coming up, and you have your own show coming up. Or I'll see if I can hold you maybe 5 minutes in the next segment. If you can't, I'll understand. I'll ask during the break because I want to get
in.
Oh,
man, we are here. Sorry.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Okay, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. On the other side, I've got a few more questions. Amazing information from Lou Dobbs.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Okay, just got a few minutes left with Lou. He's got to get ready for his own show, loudobbs.com. Of course, 7 o'clock Eastern Fox Business Channel with his program as well, now unbridled from CNN. Lou, in closing, I wanted to ask you about inflation and then your view on Donald Trump. I thought he was just joking around and getting some attention and injecting some of his ideas, but more and more listening to him, I was listening to him last night, he really sounds like he's probably going to run. What's your take on that first and then inflation?
I think that Donald is having Donald is having a lot of fun, Alex. He is very entertaining, no question about it. I cannot, just as straightforward as I can be about this, I mean, I can't read the man. At first, like you, I thought, all right, the Donald's, you know, he's kind of kidding around here. But the more time goes by, he seems to be digging deeper into the possibility of running. I do think that when he makes it clear he's going to announce on the last installment of The Apprentice, that I'm a little suspicious about what the outcome may be.
Absolutely. Well, if he did run, what's your overall view? He doesn't like NAFTA and GATT and things. What do you think about him?
You know, first of all, he's a smart, he's an accomplished guy. You know, I'm leery, forgive me for saying this, but I'm leery of billionaires who want to be in politics. That's not to say that I would support him if it turned out he was the candidate. I'm just simply saying to me, billionaires have got a higher bar because, I'm a little suspicious of it, and I'm the power that they already have, let alone what they would bring to the office. That's just me.
Very briefly, what's your view on him saying, show the original birth certificate, not just the receipt of the birth certificate?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I believe there's no question that Barack Obama is a citizen of the United States. What I'm curious about is, obviously, Donald Trump's expressing. Why not just get rid of this nonsense and present a birth certificate and be done with it? I mean, that's the intriguing political question for me. But, you know, I think that, frankly, when we're looking at $14 trillion in national debt, think about this, $1.7 trillion in deficits when we've got a government that is dysfunctional, when we have our troops deployed all around the world, engaged in a global fight against terror, when we've got men and women dying, I think we've got, you know, bigger issues to take on.
Lastly, the head of Walmart CEO's come out and said inflation is going to be, quote, serious. We're already seeing it in oil, gold, silver, other commodities.
Right.
And then the federal government's telling us there's no inflation problem at all. What's your take on that in closing?
Very quickly, inflation is as big a problem as we permit it to be. The fact that this president comes out with an energy plan 5 weeks ago doesn't even mention the current high prices of gasoline and crude oil. It doesn't indicate any willingness to confront OPEC, which is a cartel, to make certain these prices don't move higher, get it off, and get them off the back of the American working man and woman, is unconscionable. So I think inflation could be a problem, but it'll be a failure of leadership, not an economic result.
Sure, as Obama moves to also block more discovery and production of oil
exactly.
Here domestically. Lou Dobbs, loudobbs.com, thank you for spending so much time with us, and we'll be listening to you on the radio tonight.
Always good to talk with you, Alex. Thanks.
All right, thank you. There goes Lou Dobbs. Very interesting 37-minute interview with him today. That's why we skipped that network break to have more time with him. You know, a lot of times it's kind of a treasure hunt here on this show. A lot of you notice we don't announce a lot of the big guests that are coming on ahead of time. It's just a surprise, and we have big guests every day, except every once in a while when I just have open phones and cover the news. And we do have some more informative guests coming up later. Obviously, we have Lloyd Chapman of the American Small Business League to break down his view of Obama's speech two nights ago and what's happening in the economy. He'll be joining us coming up at the start of the next hour for 30 minutes, and then we'll take some phone calls. And then Bob Chapman with his once-a-week visit. Now, Bob in the last month had a really bad phone line from his undisclosed third-world location. And so we hope it's good today. If not, we're going to have to not have him on for a while until that problem is corrected, which is painful because I always enjoy having Bob Chapman on with us, but technology is technology. So that is coming. In fact, I forgot to ask John Harmon today. Did we do that test with Bob Chapman yesterday? And was it good? Okay, so you helped him troubleshoot. Fantastic. So Bob Chapman, we got Lloyd Chapman and Bob Chapman coming up today. So that's Chapman and Chapman. Sounds like a law firm or something. They're going to be joining us today as Bob Chapman does every Friday. Okay. I looked over the news last night and this morning, and it's all pretty wild. And we are going to be breaking it all down today. I mentioned this with Lou Dobbs earlier. Republicans will be to blame if U.S. defaults. So what an amazing act of financial terrorism. Give us what we want. Raise taxes. Raise spending across the board. Or we'll have a default. But it's the increased spending and the very banking institutions that we've given trillions of dollars secretly to. A lot of it now forced to be public. Paying off media, foreign governments, money to Gaddafi, hundreds of billions to Germany, 100 plus billion to England. The list goes on and on. Billions to GE, going right to MSNBC. And you notice what all these big banker funded organs are saying. We need to raise taxes. Why? Because most of the taxes go to these bankers. So they tell the poor, the disappearing middle class, the working class, blue-collar folks, hey, there's these big rich people that have got 30-40% of the wealth. Let's get them. And then they come out with legislation that'll shake down people making $125,000 a year individually, $250,000 collectively, a husband and wife per couple. And that's the only group still buying hamburgers, still buying clothes, still paying for private school, still buying cars, buying TV sets, buying vacation packages. I mean, I've studied the economics, folks. It's those people making $125,000 and up. It's those folks making a couple million a year that pay to have the lawn service come or pay to have the real estate group come that keep the housing prices up. I mean, just everything. They pay for everything. They pay for the boat slips. They pay for the beauty salons. They go to your Mexican food restaurant. They go to your Italian restaurant. They make it all go around. And you look at California raising taxes on them year after year, the income taxes at the state level, all the carbon taxes. And where are all those middle-class people, most of them liberals? They don't know why they're leaving California. They supported all these policies. They're all coming to Austin, driving up housing prices, buying up all the farmland. And then they're down at the city council calling for raising taxes here. You idiots. You've been run out of California. It's basically like a dog going to the bathroom all over your house, and the dog doesn't want to be in the room it's been in where it's soiled the carpet for 6 months. And now you want to come into our house and go to the bathroom all over the floor, and then you're too stupid to know why it stinks to high heaven. Listen, I love Californians. A beautiful state, a lot of great people. I don't like to oversimplify, but look at how you vote on average. You vote for Schwarzenegger, a gun-grabbing, open-border-promoting, tax-raising, corporate bailout stooge who tells Rolling Stone he wanted to be a dictator and loves Hitler, and so he gets ADL endorsements. I mean, that's in Rolling Stone. That's what he told the Pumping Iron people when they were going to release a new DVD with the stuff they cut out of the film back in the 70s. He bought the whole film so it wouldn't be released. But Rolling Stone saw those clips back in the 70s with I Like Hitler and I Want to Be a Dictator. Look, I'm already digressing. The point is, people are moving here from New York. They're moving here from Michigan. They're moving here from Illinois. They're from Chicago. They're moving from California. You people are running from the states that you have ruined, going along with this big government model. And when you get here, on average, you do the same thing. You're ruining my state. You make me want to throw up. You're ruining the town I live in. You people don't know your head from a hole in the ground. And look, Texas was the fastest growing, most prosperous state, but statistically it's not going to be with you people moving here, okay? And I'm sorry, I just can't handle it. You've already ruined your state almost completely. Maybe if you all leave, maybe California can get back up on its feet. All right, I'm sorry, I'm ranting here, but I mean, we've got these California people trying to get carbon taxes through in Texas, trying to get carbon taxes they have in Austin. And these idiots don't know why in the last 3 years, on average, their power bill, their gas bills as well, have doubled. You know, I hear mainline idiot liberals. You're not even liberals. You're just conned by the globalists. You think you're liberal. With your bumper stickers about carbon taxes and how great they are and pushing for it at the city council. And you're doing this all over the country as well. And then you wonder, you complain why your power bill went up. It isn't a carbon tax. It's a ripoff for insider power companies to gouge us, and you think it's cute. I go to Whole Foods, and they got all these magazines on the rack about how cool it is to be into austerity and to have nothing. I don't think it's cute. All right, and you know what? I said I was going to get to a bunch of news, and now I'm ranting. I apologize. It's just, and here's the other big problem. Ron Paul and Rand Paul have got it 100% right. You can cut the welfare. You can cut and freeze. First it's frozen, now they want to cut Social Security. People paid into that. You can do all that all day long. If you don't abolish the Federal Reserve now, if you don't say no to these 1,000+ trillion in fake debts that have been made, if you don't realize that the big Republican leadership is saying nothing about banker bailouts, nothing about the trillion stolen, nothing about dollar devaluation, and Geithner's going, oh, it's your fault. Well, no, they're all involved. I mean, if you got to pin it on somebody who gets the main blame, it's Bill Clinton, 1999, and the head of the Federal Reserve at the time, Alan Greenspan, and some Democrats did criticize it, some Republicans criticized it, but the ruling political class rammed that through to allow the banksters to create over $1,000 trillion in fake counterfeit garbage, as Madoff has admitted. He says, why am I in trouble? This is what everybody does. And it's true. It's true. I mean, it was Ken Lay in 1995-96 on record in the meetings with Al Gore setting up the carbon tax model. Then Gore set up Gore and Blood. There's no pun there. That's the other guy's name is Blood. And they set up this carbon trading system. And Obama's heavily invested in it. And it's a scam. And I try to explain this to people. I go, okay, let's just for the sake of argument say carbon dioxide is deadly. It kills plants, it kills humans, it's killing the earth. It doesn't. It's what plants operate off of. They put off more oxygen. The studies show that it's been 40-something times, 14 times. I mean, it's been much higher in history. Plants grow faster, live longer, produces more oxygen. The truth is the planet is in a low oxygen carbon dioxide state. They've studied the ice cores, the mud samples, the rock samples. It's confirmed. It's pretty creepy, actually. That we're so level, the oxygen is low, carbon dioxide's low, but let's just say it's deadly, okay? You know, you can go out, and they've done this on TV at multiple events, we've done it. You can go out to mainline liberals at an environmental meeting at a city park in some of the cases. We've done it here. Penn and Teller did it. You can go to them and say, listen, we're getting a petition signed to ban dihydrogen monoxide. It's in our lakes. It's in our rivers. If you drink too much of it, it can make you urinate. Over 95% of the people will, and these are people with degrees. Most of these mainline liberals are not stupid. They're just a part of a cult. They suspend their thinking process and they say, yes, I want to ban dihydrogen monoxide. Well, ladies and gentlemen, dihydrogen monoxide is H2O. It's water. Four things on this planet create life: sunlight, water, carbon dioxide, and oxygen. You don't have those, you don't have anything. Okay? Well, the government can't really tell you that the sun's evil, though Cass Sunstein tries. They can't really tell you that oxygen's bad. People know they breathe that. They can't tell you water's evil. And so carbon dioxide sounds like monoxide, so they do it. But for the sake of argument, let's just agree carbon dioxide is evil and bad and deadly and terrible and will kill your children and kill plants and animals and bunny rabbits and Easter bunnies and everything else. And it's horrible. It'll kill Chinese jet pilots. It'll kill just anything. It's the most deadly thing on Earth. If you put taxes on it, because nothing else is coming out of these coal-powered plants, the new ones now, so you got to tax something. So, oh my gosh, the carbon pollution. If you shut those down here, which they're doing, head of energy department said it a month ago, yeah, we're going to shut hundreds more down. We've blocked hundreds just in the last 2 years from being opened. Built, completed plants have not been allowed to open in Corpus Christi, Texas. I mean, that's just the way it is. You can just type in energy department shuts down coal plant. You'll just get articles every day. It's going on all over the country. Let's just say it's deadly. They shut them down. China is building three a week, has no carbon scrubbers on them at all, and spews pure toxic waste, mercury, lead, arsenic, into the air, no scrubbers, no nothing, and it drifts over to the United States directly in the trade winds. You know, China, Japan, Pacific Ocean, United States. Boom, comes right over. It's constantly being picked up at incredibly high levels at every metering station in the country. Local environmental groups will use that to go blame it on local coal plants and time again file lawsuits, and it comes out it's China. Now, if we're one world, and by shutting down our coal plants, it just makes the industry move there where it's dirty, how does that fix the economy? How does that fix the environment? It doesn't. It increases the output in the devil gas, known as Satan itself, Beelzebub, the ninth circle of hell, absolute demonic vortex of Armageddon, carbon dioxide. The absolute demonic vortex of hell itself is increasing in levels. Now, I'm not worried about the demonic vortex of hell, carbon dioxide, because I know it's not the demonic vortex of hell, as you say it is, but I am worried about that lead, arsenic, and the rest of it. And is coal perfect? No. They still got to do something with that toxic waste from our coal power plants. But let me tell you something. It's a lot better than Fukushima. You see, I'm not a liberal. I'm not a conservative. I get emails going, Alex, you're not a conservative. Conservatives are for nuclear power. Really? Who said so? Alex, you're against the Patriot Act. You must be a liberal. Try a constitutionalist. I don't sit here and go, well, I'm a Democrat, so I'm for this, or I'm a Republican, so I'm for that. I research issues, I research topics, and I come up with my view and understanding, and I interview experts every day as you hear them, and I literally immerse myself in this to try to be the most informed I can. Doesn't mean I have all the answers, but compared to someone out there in the general public, 90%+ at the average event that you can get to ban not just dihydrogen monoxide, they'll sign a petition for that. They'll sign one for table salt because it's got a scary name. What is it? Sodium chloride. Chloride sounds pretty scary, doesn't it? So the globalists are a criminal ruling class. And this morning I was enraged getting in my car. And it was like, God talked to me, you know, one of those epiphanies. And I said, relax. relax. Just get your message out. It's always been this way. It's always a fight between good and evil. And I was kind of self-reflective. I said, why am I so angry? And it's simple. I don't like watching this criminal class get away with ridiculous lies, ridiculous corruption, when if people would just get a little bit of knowledge, they wouldn't get away with it. But the public is so uninformed, they will ban water if told to. We're going to come back and get into some key financial news. Then we've got another guest coming up to break down what's happening in the economy and Obama's speech. Then your phone call.
Before you slip into unconsciousness, I'd like to have another kiss, another flashing chance.
Good job to the producers getting Lou Dobbs. That was an exciting 37-minute interview with him. I wanted to get Ted Anderson, 30-plus years in gold and silver brokerage, to get on the air with us just for 3 or 4 minutes here. In fact, we'll put on screen for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. We did a Google search of gold and silver. Gold, silver hit historic peaks on gold surge. It goes on to report silver's way up. I mean, there's literally hundreds of articles there breaking down the fact that the euro's falling at the same time the dollar's falling because George Soros basically told the truth last week. He said silver and gold and oil are becoming the new global currency as all currencies are basically devalued, Ted.
Yeah, it sure is. It's like a game of Russian roulette, Alex, except for the bullets pointing at the heads of the people of the nation. I'm not talking about the government. I'm talking about individuals that have savings accounts. It's just going to be a really sad thing because there's so many people that are trying to live on retirement income. And that's going to just turn into nothing. You know, they're not going to be able to buy what they need, and it's just going to be terrible.
Well, Ted, I'll tell you what's creepy is that Geithner's now involved in financial terrorism again, saying that if there's a default, it's people's fault who wanted to cut taxes and cut spending, which is the opposite of reality. Meanwhile, AP reports China is trimming its holdings of U.S. securities even more. We just got numbers from February. We always get them a few months after. And now that'll up the fact that so that'll mean over 70% of treasuries are now not being bought by governments or investors. They're being bought by the Federal Reserve itself. That's what started to happen in Weimar Republic or Argentina.
Yeah, that's right. That's what causes hyperinflation. And we're looking at it right in the face right now. The United States is seeing the very consequences of hyperinflation. Look at silver. It's reflecting it right now. Silver's at $42.88 on the market peak today and presently trading at $42.63. Gold, $1,485.70, seeing a high of $1,488.70. I mean, I can just say, Alex, right? We are sitting in the position now where there really isn't a whole lot of turning back. I don't think that even the Republican or even the Tea Party people can stop this thing from happening. The U.S. Treasuries are going to be sold by the Fed, and they're going to do what it takes to keep the government in check, paying its bills. And not only that, all their buddies, their central bank branches that they have as members, they're going to be bailing them out too. And it's not going to be pretty.
And they try to make this a left-right issue. I heard Fox this morning driving in on XM, Fox TV, saying it's the two-year birthday of the Tea Party. The Tea Party started back in 2007, 4 years ago, by Ron Paul, by this radio show, by other true constitutionalists. And I don't really hear the Republican leadership going after the banksters. They're just talking about cutting some smaller things, as Ron Paul has said. That isn't going to fix it. And so they're making an issue that if you're a Democrat, you've got to be for bigger government. Folks, we're bankrupt. The federal government spends double a year what it did 11 years ago. We cannot continue to do this. And the lion's share of it is bailouts to the central banks that are holding us hostage, Ted. I mean, this is serious business. Now, briefly here, after we cover that financial news, tell folks over the weekend, you've got brokers there. The three silver dollar, three DVD free shipping deal that's $70 off the regular price. Nobody can offer a deal that good. It went up $5 from last week. It's going to go up again, you were telling me, next week. Currently, three silver dollars, three of my best-selling films and free shipping, $115. That's over $70 off. what it should be. It's going to be going up a little more next week because you're going to run out of your supplies. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. Ted, do 5 more minutes with us, then we'll get our guest on at the 8 after second segment of next hour. We've got Lloyd Chapman coming up. He's the head of the American Small Business League to break down Obama's speech. But I want to talk more about that.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
There is a spinoff group basically inspired by We Are Change, Federal Jack, that's been around for a few years, a website, successful YouTube channels. They go out and confront Al Gore peaceably on global warming fraud and things like that. Popeye, and that's his handle, we're going to reveal his real name today, one of the heads of Federal Jack, got an FBI visit this morning, and they didn't really give him their names, but he's going to their office now. It's 3 miles away to demand it. They came and asked, do you know any terrorists? And then they asked about other members of Federal Jack. And this is the type of stuff that goes on. Right before we were going to release the Obama deception, the FBI came here and said they were concerned about some comments of the hundreds of thousands of comments or more on Infowars.com on the articles. But then they were asking about via telephone after they left about the Obama deception. And I got a little spooked by that. And so I decided to release the film 2 days early. And then because of the subpoena, I wasn't allowed to say why they were here. People said, oh, he made that up. The FBI wasn't there. And then 6 months later, it was AP, Reuters, Wired Magazine, the cover story of why they were here for the IP addresses with a subpoena of the commenters. But while they were here, they then followed up and said, we want to know about Obama. We want to know about your new film. And I'm like, what does that have to do with any of this? No. Well, what are you planning with Obama? This is the type of stuff that goes on in America. And it's very creepy. It's very spooky. It's very melancholy. And it's all about intimidation because Federal Jack, Luke Radowski's gotten threats at his home and threats to his family. So have I. And sometimes when the government calls you or it's private contractors, we don't know, they will tell you conversations you just had on the phone to let you know, hey, we got power, pal, to try to scare you. This isn't just Joe Schmo calling you. We're going to get him on the show in the last 20 minutes or so when Bob Chapman joins us. But finishing up with Ted Anderson, Ted, getting back to these gold and silver offers, I mean, these are great deals, and you're able to offer it because gold and silver keeps going up so much. You buy a bunch of it when they do these dips. It's overall going straight up, but there's little dips before it goes back up. You buy when it dips and then pass on the savings, and that's how you're so successful. And you make a tiny, because I see the actual markup sheets, 2, 3, 4% max. But after shipping, handling, your cost, I know I was actually talking to some of the brokers yesterday. They're kind of irritated by it because all they do is take these orders and then they can never even make a little markup to even make a little money for themselves. But this is your loss leader. Briefly, in the minute and a half we have left, mention some of the francs, some of the silver half dollars. What are the specials you've got right now for folks that are running through the weekend? And again, it will go up next week as it did this week a little bit because you're running out of the stuff you bought earlier.
Yeah, sure are. I tell you what, the franc right now is presently at $319, and the British sovereign currently right now is at $399. I mean, Alex, I can't say it enough. People need your videos and your films. $115 for that deal. It's just out of this world smoking. In addition to this, I mean, the material that you're putting out is probably the most important part of this, but people are going to have silver instead of Federal Reserve notes.
And by the way, we're risking our life. I mean, Wayne Madsen's having to leave the country now.
Yeah, I know it. And that's the kind of thing that's going on. I mean, you put all this money and all this effort into these videos, and of course, people want to watch them for free. That's if they're on the internet. But man, these are the original in the plastic holders. You can give them to somebody and have them watch them. I mean, if they want to know what's really going on, Alex, just that explanation that you had on carbon taxes right before you had me come up after the break was is so invaluable. I mean, everybody thinks that it's Democrat, Republican, and all this, right-left-wing thing, and it's not. It's about paying a tax to a world organization so they can have a world currency collect interest on the debt by this carbon tax.
Absolutely. Ted, we're out of time. Great points. Brokers will be there throughout the weekend. Call today, 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. We've got the head of the American Small Business League joining us straight ahead. Thank you, Ted Anderson.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, for the next 30 minutes, Lloyd Chapman, president and founder of the American Small Business League, ASBL.com, is our guest. If you missed it, it'll be in the podcast and rebroadcast on stations all over the country this weekend. We had Lou Dobbs on for 37 minutes in the first hour. Very informative interview. And Lloyd Chapman's put out a press release analyzing, and we're going to get this posted up on Infowars.com for immediate release, dealing with Obama's budget plan, higher taxes on small businesses and federal small business contracts for Fortune 500 firms. Of course, a few months ago, Obama proposed having the bidding process secret so they can put small businesses on a blacklist and only give it to big mega companies, which violates federal law. But the first thing, before we even get into the speech and what Obama said two nights ago and where this economy's going, I wanted to discuss corporate welfare with the Fortune 100 mainly. Some of the other 500 aren't as bad. And the Obama waivers, over 1,000 of them to McDonald's and the auto workers union. You don't have to get the insurance. Everybody else does, even though those groups then lobbied, you know, previously for it. So it's like going to the Queen of England to get a special license and nobody else can. It shuts down all the competition and they can hand out favors to their cronies. But now we learn why the private Federal Reserve in the last 3 years and all these bailouts and stimulus packages didn't want anybody to know where the trillions went, because most of it went to overseas banks, Muammar Gaddafi, General Electric, MSNBC, mainstream newspapers. I mean, the federal government now with taxpayer money is directly not just giving contracts to mega corporations and cutting out the little guy and killing small business. That's the real stimulus if you're going to have this system. But it's going directly to the mainline corporate media that is calling for more taxes on the middle class, which is then paid to the mega corporations. I mean, this is very simple, but for the general public, they still haven't figured it out. And they're in this big left-right argument about what, how much to cut Social Security, when if you look at the actuaries, that won't do anything to stop this corporate welfare situation. So Lloyd Chapman, president of the American Small Business League, break it down for us.
Well, you know, basically large corporations control our government. And, you know, the lobbyists on K Street that work for these large corporations, they call the shots and they get the legislation they want passed and the policies. And the middle class and small businesses, you know, are getting cheated out of, you know, billions of dollars. We estimate that $100 million an hour and federal small business contracts are going to Fortune 500 firms. And it's just, you know, when I hear you talk about it, I always talk about it, but to hear you talk about it, it's just almost unbelievable. When people hear this, it's just almost unbelievable. But to think that, you know, if you're a retired fireman in Houston, you paid more taxes than General Electric did last year. It's just unbelievable that the government's allowing these large corporations to get away with, you know, paying no taxes, and they're going to raise the taxes on small businesses and talk about cutting Medicare and Social Security. It's just so unbelievable.
Well, you just said it. That's the incredible fraud of Obama and the Democrats, the big mega banks that openly, and the head of his economic board, the former head of GE, Obama just 3 months ago gave him waivers on all of their new coal power plants, but isn't giving the waivers to everybody else and actually shutting down their competition. I mean, this is pure racketeering. And then Obama points the big, you know, blue collar mass of people who are going under with the inflation that's happening. They point them at the middle class, and Obama says, I'm going to raise taxes on the rich, but he's not doing it on the real ultra rich who are getting the corporate welfare. They're pointing it at the small businesses in America. I mean, this, and the Republicans aren't even pointing that out. I mean, they're there saying corporations are perfect, they're fine, not pointing out the difference between a mega corporation and a mom and pop.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just it's really, really sad. In fact, I'm really concerned that Obama may actually try to end federal contracting programs for small businesses by combining the SBA with the Commerce Department. The Commerce Department is really run by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and by Fortune 500 firms. And I would characterize the Commerce Department as almost anti-small business. So to think about combining the SBA, which is supposed to promote the interest of small businesses, with the agency that's there to promote the interest of Fortune 500 firms, it's just absurd. But I'm very concerned that he might try to do that. But, yeah, it's just so I call it economic sabotage. People need to realize that 98% of all U.S. firms have less than 100 employees. Small businesses employ over 56% of the private sector workforce. They're responsible for over half of the gross domestic product. 90% of all U.S. exports come to small businesses. And I believe over 90% of all inventions and patents and innovations
yes.
come to small businesses. Obama and Bush have given small businesses less than 3% of the stimulus funds. Think about that. We're trying to create jobs. And small businesses, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, this is not, you know, me, the Census Bureau, small businesses are responsible for over 90% of all net new jobs in America. It's been that way for decades. And they've given them 3% of the stimulus funds. And, you know, while we're talking, the government's giving small business contracts to companies in England and Holland, France. You know, just, it's crazy. And it's, and that's why you don't see unemployment dropping. You know, how can unemployment drop when small businesses are responsible for over 90% of all net new jobs? They've given them no stimulus funds, and the federal program to direct 23% of all government contracts to small businesses, that money's all being diverted to Fortune 500 firms.
Well, let me give listeners a microcosm, and folks can pull up the specific numbers on this, but generally, animal ID, premises ID, the Agriculture Department's stated policy, because you said, you know, that the Department of Commerce, you know, might as well publicly say they have an anti-small business view.
Absolutely.
But with the Agriculture Department, they openly say get big or get out. And the vast majority of the farm subsidies go to big agribusiness because they're designed to even be able to take it. The little guys can't get it. And now the big guys publicly in the last year gave hundreds of millions of dollars to try to pass the animal ID, premises ID, and other laws in the Safe Food Act and all that to openly shut down the little guys when almost all the violations are by big mega agribusiness. And it turns out big mega agribusiness wrote those regulations and admitted it was to shut down their competition. I mean, this is the name of the game.
Absolutely. You know, it's people, you know, if you talk to, you know, people on the street, it's hard for them to understand that the government is as corrupt as it is. It's just, you know, when you look at any congressional committee, you'll see that the majority of the political contributions to the members of Congress on that committee come from the industry they're supposed to regulate. It's that way across the board. In fact, I was thinking about the small business issue. You know, I'm going to the Supreme Court to try to get the phone records of an SBA executive. I filed my 14th Freedom of Information lawsuit against the Obama administration yesterday. I think I'll probably file as many as 50 before the year's over. And this is from a guy who said he's kind of the most transparent administration in history. But people just don't realize how corrupt the government is because the big corporations control all the committees. In the Small Business Committee, for example, Boeing is a major contributor to both the House and Senate Small Business Committee. And whenever there's a hearing on small business policy, the American Small Business League is never called, but Boeing, you know, is called to testify. But it's that way in every area of government. I was watching Terror Storm the other night again. And that's, by the way, that's a fantastic movie. Anyone that hasn't seen that should watch it. That's really, I love it. But it really just shows to me that in every area of government, you know, this corruption is just rampant. It's just so upsetting.
Well, it is. Looking at Obama's speech, he's talking about getting rid of the tax write-offs that are there or reducing them. I mean, here in my office, we, even though we know the income tax is paid to the Federal Reserve and it's a fraud, the point is if we don't pay at all, dot the I's, cross the T's, they're going to come in here and shut me down. I'm under a magnifying glass. But I look at it, my employees pay taxes, They've written the laws now, the CPAs have explained and showed me, where we can't even write off computers or building a wall in the office or expanding. And now they're going to get rid of even more of the write-offs. And then meanwhile, the big international corporations like GE and others, they write the laws themselves through the lobbyists, and where they're exempt from everything. And it's just incredible that small businesses can even stay afloat anywhere the way this has been set up. I mean, it's so incredible that I pay so much more money than General Electric does, people that make hundreds of billions of dollars a year, and that's just domestically, then they have all their offshore tax-free operations, and then my taxes don't even go to the country. It goes to the private Federal Reserve.
Yeah, it's shocking to think that was it ExxonMobil that paid no taxes last year?
Yes.
Yeah, and now GE's paying no taxes, and small businesses are going to have their taxes raised. It's just unbelievable.
And Obama calls that liberal. I mean, what do all these blue-collar supporters of Obama that think there's a free lunch somewhere, what are they going to do as more businesses shut down and they lose their jobs? I guess we'll go above $44 million on food stamps.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. It's hard. In fact, I'll say it's almost impossible to get this in the mainstream media. We're talking about GE. You know, GE owns NBC. And you know, you can't get stories about GE, you know, in the press. You can't. In fact, I was watching some major news network every day, and I saw an ad for Boeing. If you'll watch any major news channel, you'll see these ads for Boeing and Lockheed and the American Petroleum Institute. Why is Boeing running ads on national television? What is Boeing selling that the American people can buy? They run ads on these national news channels to control the media so they won't run any negative stories about
Monsanto, Archer's Daniel Midland, the defense contractors. These are ads for stealth bombers on the news I've been seeing for decades. They're not selling stealth bombers to consumer TV audiences. They're paying off the media.
Absolutely.
Or they're, in the case of GE, just putting money in another one of their subsidiaries. Stay there. I want to get more into Obama's speech, your latest press release on this with Lloyd Chapman, the president of the American Small Business League.
Iodine.
I know most of you, the audience of the syndicated broadcast, totally get it. But for new listeners, I want to simplify this as much as I can and then get Lloyd Chapman, president of the American Small Business League's take on it. It's very simple. The Republicans are saying all corporations are wonderful, perfect. They made the sun rise this morning. The Democrats are saying government is wonderful. They made the sun rise this morning and corporations are bad. The truth is, the mega corporations are above the law, wrote the law with loopholes. They're offshore. And they are globalist. They are bad. They've created a rigged playing field with it tilted against the little guys. And they are coming in and now lobbying to raise taxes on the middle class when most of it gets paid to them in corporate welfare. And the Republicans won't tell you that. I see these videos circulating like Eat the Rich. And it says even if you took all the rich people's money, the $1.5 trillion, it'd be gone within 3 months of the first year's budget. That's true. But they don't tell you that there's 3 to 4 to 5, depending on how you break it down, that money offshore, they take offshore. That's the difference. Going over Obama's speech and where this is going, this is pretty scary, Lloyd. And now they're saying if we try to cut the budget or anything, it's going to cause a default on the dollar. What's your view on Obama's speech? I thought it was pretty horrifying.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just... Horrifying is the word. That's the word. It's horrifying. Did you notice how he, what he called raising taxes? I was actually watching Comedy Central, and they're making fun of him. When Obama was elected, Stephen Colbert actually kind of teared up. Now Comedy Central and Jon Stewart, they're making fun of him. He called raising taxes on small businesses spending cuts in the tax code. Did you catch that one?
Yes.
Spending cuts in the tax code. Yeah, he's raising taxes on small businesses. To tell you the truth, the most amazing thing to me about his speech was how nonspecific it was. You know, you could sit there and watch it, and I was actually watching, taking notes, because I had to talk about this, and it was just very vague. And also the thing that amazed me was how he goes out 12 years to make it sound like it's a lot of money. you know, you're not going to be in office in 12 years. You probably won't be in office in, you know, in 24 months. And it's just really bizarre how he says, yeah, it's going to save X number of dollars over the next 12 years. Well, your policies won't be in place 12 years from now. No matter what policy they pass now, that won't be in place.
Well, they always say we're going to leave Iraq in 2 years, and 2 years later they don't.
Yeah.
You know, they're calling the war a kinetic action, and they're saying ground troops are just advisors. I mean, this is and now tax increases are cleaning up tax exemptions. I mean, this really is Orwellian.
Yeah, I'll tell you something funny. You can't believe anything that Obama says. Remember, I'm embarrassed to say and remind you that I campaigned for Obama. I would do radio shows campaigning for him. I met him. I talked to him. I thought he was going to be great. And he's gone back on every single campaign promise he made. I literally can't think of anything that he said he was going to do that he's done. I really am not aware.
And he's taken every Bush corrupt policy, because these guys are just front men, and put it in high gear. And Democrats are like, we like torture. We like war now. We like GE robbing us. It's fun.
Well, I tell you something that amazes me. I think I saw a poll that he has something like a 95% approval rating with African Americans, and minorities don't understand that he is dismantling all federal contracting programs for minorities. There's a federal law that says 5% of all government contracts should go to minorities, and within 90 days of being elected, he sent a memo out to the Pentagon to start dismantling that program, and there's no publicity, there's no press. So the first black president and the first African-American attorney general are dismantling the federal programs to help minorities get government contracts, and no one seems to know about it. But you have to remember, when you see Obama on television, he's reading every word he's saying. He's reading it. And he looks left and right like he's, you know, looking at the crowd. He's reading it off of teleprompters. You know, one of my staff, you know, back when we were campaigning for him, went to a campaign speech and sat behind him, and he said he's looking at these two clear plastic, you know, teleprompters reading the speech. But when you see it on television, and he's looking to the left and looking to the right and looking to the center, looks like he's, you know, looking everybody in the eye. He's reading everything.
And the news for over a year and a half would never pull back and show the teleprompters.
Yeah.
And that's what I told Republicans when I saw his real policies, even before he got into office. I said, you Republicans, it's all about the surface. Well, he's a Democrat, so he must be bad.
Yeah.
Well, he actually expanded all of the Bush policies, just different rhetoric. All of you Republicans, if you're actually about the real actions, wars, torture, big government, soaking us to corporations, you should love Obama. Mainline Republicans should fall down on their knees and worship him. And hey, black Americans taking your small business contracts, you like being poor, you like not having a shot at those contracts, good. And you do. Republicans hate him because of surface issues, even though they should love him. And Democrats love him, even though they should hate him, if they follow their real policies. Let's do a few more minutes.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Our guest is leaving us in about 5 minutes. We're going to open the phones up for the rest of the hour. Then Bob Chapman is joining us to break down what's happening in the economy, the latest on Fukushima, the Middle East, you name it. Toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9231. And for about 20 minutes of the next hour, towards the end of the show, the broadcast, I've got one of the head guys at Federal Jack, a great group influenced by We Are Change, real grassroots media, going out to press conferences, asking Al Gore questions, asking Republicans questions, exposing what's happening. Very peaceful, nice folks. YouTube channel getting, you know, millions of views. Got the head guy, got an FBI visit. And I know Popeye. We're going to release his real name. That's his YouTube handle. Woke him up early this morning, didn't offer who they were when they left. He called the FBI, tried to go down there. Now they won't give him their names. Just incredible that, and we've had the FBI come here too, and then ask us about the Obama deception and their, you know, what are we doing? Well, they came here and then left. And then I got phone calls from the agent that sent them here in California asking me questions. And I said, what does this have to do with, you know, all this? So this is this intimidation going on against the American people, and it's very, very creepy and very, very dangerous when you've got the White House regulations czar coming out and saying we should infiltrate liberty groups, we should discredit them, we should try to pass laws to arrest people that question government. I mean, these are quotes. And then you have the New York Magazine 2 weeks ago with a front cover profile on myself basically saying, yes, I could cause violence, even though I'm not for violence offensively. I am for defending yourself against tyranny if you have to, like Hitler, what happened, what you should lay down to that. And he went on to quote Cass Sunstein and say, basically, maybe Cass Sunstein's right. I mean, we just saw Media Matters and internal memos that came out in Politico 2 weeks ago saying, infiltrate, destroy alternative media. I mean, this is getting scary. Wayne Madsen, who's a liberal, but been exposing Obama. He's directly from the State Department source and a major media source via a government source, is leaving the country because he's been told they've got the government has a hit out on him. And by the way, he's the guy that got me Deborah Jean Palfrey, the D.C. madam, on. And I said, you're not going to kill yourself, are you? And she said, no. And then a month or so later, they murdered her. And she told her the manager of the condo complex she lived in for years in Florida in between D.C. that, okay, I'm going to prison now. I'm going to deliver these boxes to my mom. I got people following me. She told us she wouldn't commit suicide. And they just killed her and hung her in the shed at her mommy's, her elderly mother who found her. And then they told us it was a suicide. I mean, this is scary, scary stuff, ladies and gentlemen. And this is, we have a tyranny on our hands. I didn't mean to digress Lloyd Chapman off into that. but I mean, this is the real world we live in.
I'll tell you something. Someday I'll tell you what's happened to me. I've got some stories to tell you.
No, go ahead. People need to hear what goes on in America. You head up a group with hundreds of thousands of members, very prominent. You're suing the government. You're getting documents. Tell us. People need to know who and I don't do this to scare people. I do this so folks know just the type of criminals we're dealing with, because I believe in America, the American people, and I believe that we're going to stand up against these bullies. Just like an old Western where the bad guys come into town and people are finally sick of it. I mean, briefly, tell folks what's happened to you.
Oh, I came to work one day, and there was a truck in the front of our building, and they said they were running phone lines for AT&T. And about 2 hours later, a metal rod the size of your finger came up through the floor in our phone room. And we went outside and, you know, confronted them. And then about a week later, AT&T called us. They weren't our provider, and said, we need to come into your building and work on your phone system. So we said, well, you're not our provider. You know, go away. And then our phone system went down. And the AT&T guys called and said, oh, you know, is your phone system down? You know, we need to come in and fix it. And I was out of town. They let them in. And then about a week after that was when Bush left office, and a guy from the NSA was on the Keith Olbermann show and said the NSA was monitoring people's phones, and then a few days after that, a guy from San Francisco that worked for AT&T said AT&T was giving the government information on people, you know, in Northern California. And, you know, gosh, I've had people follow me, and I've had guys walk up to me while I'm talking to people and take my picture and get in the car and drive away, and just all kinds of bizarre stuff.
Now, that's the exact kind of thing I get.
Oh, yeah.
Have you had, and you're in Northern California.
Yeah, I live in Sonoma County outside San Francisco, but they've been. I've had death threats. When I had a guy call me when I was suing the Pentagon back 20 years ago, and he said, "You're going to get hurt. You're interfering with one of the largest defense contracts in history. You're going to get hurt." And I was kind of puzzled. I thought, "Was that a crank? You know, what was that?" And I got two or three phone calls like that, and finally, guy called me and said, "You're going to get hurt." I said, "Tell you what, I'm from Texas. I've got a 357 Magnum revolver. Tell me where to meet you, and you can try to hurt me." And that's the last one I got. But I've had guys follow me in the freeway. I've had people, you know, I had a guy follow me one time. I went on the highway. I went down to 20. He stayed behind me. Went to 120. He stayed behind me, right? But they're just trying to intimidate you. You know what I'm talking about, right? You've had this.
Oh, I've had that and a lot more. I've had the special forces guys. Three times. Once they didn't threaten me, but the other two times, and you can tell these are not regular Army people in plain clothes, and they get around you when you're coming out of Target getting baby diapers, in one case at 10 o'clock at night, 11 at night, or when I came out of the TV station by myself, and they'll just say, look, don't plan anything violent. And I go, you just say that so you can morally, in your mind, pretend that I'm a combatant and an enemy. And I said, I'm a media person. You guys ought to be ashamed of yourselves. And you know, then they'll basically, one time the guy poked me and they said, oh, you think you can? I don't want to get into tough guy stuff, but I just said, look, I just said, come on. You're a bunch of cowards. Go ahead and try something right now. Because at a certain point, you can't live in fear from this. We're not going to be men. We're going to be mice if we give into it. And folks, if you give in, they're going to take everything. And it's just like in No Way Out with Kevin Costner. Once I had those experiences where he's being followed around at the Pentagon, and his boss knows that he's onto something. So he says, these men are now assigned to you. And he says, who are these men? These men are formerly associated with special forces.
Yeah.
And it's literally, but they were younger, all three cases, just like that. You can tell they've been overseas killing people. They think they're tough. And I'm just like looking at them. And now it came out last year in Bloomberg that the big insurance companies 11 years ago, now 12, signed a deal secretly to take all the death benefits of World War II vets through current vets, and they just steal their death benefits they've been paying into, their insurance money. And it's like you want to talk to these guys and go, use your head, moron. This isn't what America's about, you threatening me in a parking lot. It came out 4 months ago in Tennessee that Campaign for Liberty is being spied on, that the Army is going to Ron Paul rallies. I mean, it came out 3 years ago at our In the Fed protest. In Houston, they had the Army spying on Ron Paul. On me up in Dallas, they had the Army there, and the Army memo leaked to us by good people in the Army, by the way, because, again, most of the donations were to Ron Paul that year. That's what's so incredible about this, is that they've got the bad guys, and they're the minority, but they're the ones that'll do this, saying, don't let the Ron Paul rally people know you're with the Army in plain clothes. They may try to kill you. So they're giving the troops memos that we're going to... So maybe these guys they send to try to intimidate me, maybe they're believing what they've been told about us, man. I mean, it's just... This is like the Soviet Union. This isn't America.
You know, I wrote a press release about that one time, saying that cheating America isn't patriotic. And people in the military, you know, need to realize that when you're you know, spying on the American people and trying to intimidate people like you, that's not patriotic. You know, that's not what this country is founded on. And I had one of those guys outside my office. He was clearly a military guy in plain clothes, chain smoking. You could tell a military guy in plain clothes. You can just tell.
Well, you can tell special forces operators from regular Army. I mean, they're like wolves just looking at you, and they think it's real funny.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I'm you know, I don't care anymore. I like you. I don't care. There's nothing they can do. I don't care. These bozos, you know, they're around the office. I don't care. I think it's funny. Now, in fact, I'm proud that I can cause that much trouble.
Well, let's talk about what you discussed, because they try to keep these numbers secret, but you've got links to this in your document link in your press release, this April 13th report you just put out a few days ago. And it says the most recent information released by the Obama administration shows large receipts of small business contracts such as Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, Dell Computer, Xerox, SAIC. That's that big, that's one of the really sneaky ones.
Yeah.
General Dynamics, Bechtel, and John Deere. Moreover, federal data indicates that corporate giants are receiving as much as $200 billion a year from federal small business contracts. And correct me if I'm wrong, under that program, they're not supposed to be getting that money.
Absolutely not. In fact, federal law defines a small business as being independently owned. So a publicly traded company doesn't qualify as a small business no matter what they do. But, yeah, this is a story I've been trying to get in the mainstream media for a decade. It's really hard. Small businesses are supposed to get around $230 billion a year in federal contracts. That would be the most powerful economic stimulus that anyone's ever proposed. It would create more jobs than anything President Bush or President Obama ever thought about. It's a wonderful program. You know, started back in 1953 with Eisenhower. And it's been completely, you know, subverted, where all the money's going to the Fortune 500 firms. And, of course, as we talked earlier, they're the ones who control all these committees. So, and it's hard to get this in the press because those institutional ads that you and I see all the time from these big, you know, Fortune 500 defense contractors. But I think that if the government would do one thing, if President Obama would do one thing, he said in February of 2008, it's time to end the diversion of federal small business contracts to corporate giants. If he would simply do that, it would create more jobs, put more existing federal infrastructure spending into the middle class than anything they've ever talked about.
But the big mega corporations want to consolidate power. Their own stated goal is to create an economic system where you have to work for them.
Absolutely.
And here they are getting the small business money. And so, of course, you're getting threats. Of course I'm getting threats. I mean, it's their $200 billion in their eyes. They want the taxpayer money, and I'm sick of it. I mean, our economy is falling apart. I'm an American. I'm a patriot. So are you. I want to have a future for my children. And to these, I mean, they're, here's the deal. They know they're consolidating the economy and power. But at a certain point, they're going to destroy their own nest when they wreck things so bad. Where is the tax base going to be for them to continue to suck off of us? They're too good at what they're doing. They're killing the golden goose.
They've done it already, I think, quite frankly. I think they've done it already. And I think that these big corporations have just gone too far. And I'm not sure we can get the economy back on track, quite frankly. In fact, the things that Obama's proposing simply will not work. There's just no way it's going to work. You know, raising taxes on small businesses is economic sabotage. So I think it may be too late, and I just don't. I'm not confident that that they're going to be able to get the economy back, you know, the way it was before. So I think these large corporations have just gone too far. And you know what, Alex? I think the secret to all this is campaign finance reform. If these big corporations couldn't funnel money into these politicians' pockets like they do, they wouldn't have this kind of power.
I agree with you, but yeah. Every time they give us a McCain-Feingold, it doubles what the big guys can give and restricts an individual.
Right.
So no matter, because people aren't sophisticated enough, whatever reform they give will be the opposite of what they claimed it was.
You know, that's the Washington, D.C. two-step, isn't it? To, you know, come out with a piece of legislation with one title that does exactly the opposite. But if the American people... I guess I was thinking about this earlier. We're not communicating. The American people are not communicating their government. They're not getting it. So if you're sitting at home listening to this and you're upset, you need to do something. You know, do something. Get on the phone, call your congressman, call your senator.
Well, that's what's frustrating. You're risking your name, your treasure, your body. I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. And I want the general public, all these so-called tough guys out there that wouldn't let their neighbor's dog do something in their yard, but they'll let the system rob them.
Right.
I want to see all you tough guys, all you John Waynes out there, I want to see you do what we're doing so you can face the intimidation and really learn how real this is. I want you to step into the fire, step onto the arena, get in the arena, because... I know a lot of you are tough guys, and once they come after you, you're going to get your back up, and then we're going to have a larger army, and that's starting to happen, and we cannot give in to this intimidation. We have to start engaging our government at every level and get our liberty muscles back in place. The system's trying to intimidate us because they're scared, and they know they've gone one, you know, bridge too far, and I want to thank Lloyd Chapman of ASBL.com for joining us. We've got your press release posted at Infowars.com. I'd hope that Drudge or somebody would pick this up, but Obama budget plan, higher taxes on small businesses, and it is very important to get this information out. We'll talk to you again, Lloyd Chapman. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Alex.
You know, I hardly ever talk about the intimidation here because it doesn't intimidate me, and that's why they don't do it that much anymore. I mean, it makes me mad. And it's spooky sometimes, but I just kind of like, whatever then. You know, at a certain point, you just got to stop caring. I mean, you got to, I go back to being 10, 11, 12, 13 years old and getting beat up almost every week by kids that were 3-4 years older. And I didn't go call the ADL or the Southern Poverty Law Center trying to push all these bullying laws to take everybody's free speech. They don't want to stop the bullying. They want to stop free speech. And they're not saying kids talking bad, they should go to jail. But the point is, bullying is an issue. But it only made me stronger that my dad said, well, tough luck, better fight back. You know, that was the kind of the old-fashioned view of things. And when I finally found out how to fight back, I not only started kicking their hind ends, I started enjoying it. And then that can become another problem when you go too far to the other side. But at a certain point, you just can't let people stomp and kick on you and be scared of them. And at a certain point, you got to just say, you know what? I don't know how this fight's going to end. This is a political info war, but you started it, and now I'm going to finish it. In fact, you may even beat me in the end. And let me tell you, a few times I got myself beat, leg broken, concussion, you name it. But you know what? They still, when they were walking away, they were bleeding and they were hurt bad too. At a certain point, you got to go, you know what? You're not coming out of this unscathed. I'm not here as your floor mat. I'm not here to be raped by you. It's over. You understand? And let me tell you, it feels a lot better fighting somebody than it does getting on the ground and balling up so they can sit there and kick you in the head and you got all these goose eggs on the top of your head. okay? I am never going to get on my knees again and have people stomp on me and kick me in the head. You understand? I am not gonna do it. And the globalists are cowards. They like to bomb people from 50,000 feet in the air. They like to snatch you and put a taser you and put a bag over your head and torture you for months. You're a bunch of scumbag serial killer cowards that go and get jobs for the globalist. And that's what's sick. Our average military man and woman are the salt of the earth, good people. Evidenced by the polls, evidenced by their supporter Ron Paul. The problem is they sift through the military and law enforcement and find psychopaths. And they got an army of psychopaths. And it's time for the military and the police and the FBI listening to decide, what side are you on? If you serve this system, if you go along with this evil, if you rationalize and make excuses and just try to do your 25, 30 and get out, school teachers, bureaucrats, any of you, corporate people, if you turn your eyes away from reality and walk on, you're going to destroy our entire society. And that goes for the general public, too. If you don't resist this, you're part of the problem. And I'm not on some moralizing high horse here. This is about survival. It's like we're in a chamber, the water's pouring in. We got to find the lever to open the door and get out of here. Because the water's up to our neck right now. Pretty soon, it's going to be up to our eyeballs. All right, I'll come back, take your calls for 2 seconds. Bob Chapman's coming up. Stay with us. Have you?
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
There are more good guys than bad guys, but good guys have got to get out on the field. And that doesn't mean you got to save the world by yourself, but you got to have courage to at least speak the truth. You got to have courage to knock on your neighbor's door. You got to have courage to go to the city council, the school board. You got to have the courage to spend time to get informed. Folks, you know we're going into tyranny. No one can deny that. You know the government lies, even when the truth would serve them. Because they want to break your will and train you to accept lies. And I just beg you, if you've been on the fence out there, to research history and reality and to come in and join the good guys. Because we're going to win this thing. It's going to be hard for those of us on the tip of the spear. But things would be a lot easier and go a lot quicker if people would just take action. All right, I'm done ranting. It's just hearing about all the people getting harassed and stuff. It really upsets me. It doesn't scare me. It upsets me. It makes me mad. Jason in California, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How's it going?
Good.
About time for all these goons to realize that they're not on the big side here. It's going to be before too long they can realize they're on the small team and whatnot.
There's also a judge over everything, and these people don't believe in God. They will.
Yeah, exactly. And the problem with going to city council and all that stuff here is, like, you don't know if you're really talking with corrupt people or good people or not usually half the time, you know? So that's
well, you're going to draw them out, though.
Yeah, this is true, over time.
What's on your mind, Jason?
Comments. One thing is, they're not, I'm wondering what's going on. No one's bringing up or talking about the off-site nuclear plants, especially the one off-site that was supposedly already starting to go into meltdown or whatever. I'm not totally sure where it's at, but no one's talking about the off-site plants, the smaller ones. And then
that's right. There's a bunch of other plants reportedly having trouble in Japan. At least four of the six reactors have had partial meltdowns. Two of them, they report, have gone through complete meltdown.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I mean. I mean, Why did they build these unstable, dangerous reactors? Their own General Electric engineers decades ago resigned over it. Why did they build them on fault lines? Why did they store the reactor rods on top of the... I mean, it's crazy. These people are nuts.
Chris, really? It's part of a big plan, I would imagine. It's the only thing that seems to make any kind of sense. But
well, the plan is they don't care. These people are just nuts.
Sickening, really. Sitting here trying to protect my family and thinking of the things they're doing here about guys chopping up men and women with machetes and things, it just blows your mind.
You're and like, the UN backing them?
Yeah, exactly. You don't even know what's
Rwanda,
going on.
Rwanda, Ivory Coast, every time the UN goes in somewhere, it's just absolute mass murder. And I got to hear all these idiot fake liberals telling me how loving the UN is. You're a bunch of morons. Mainline conservatives have no idea what's going on. It just makes me sick. Jason, I appreciate your call. Good points. Greg in New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hey there, Alex. We've been getting a bunch of these reporters coming around to some of our local meetings from a company called Patch.com. And a lot of people that know what Patch.com was. Are you familiar with this?
It rings a bell. Tell me.
Well, it looks like Patch.com is owned by AOL. And the
Arianna Huffington. So they're sending operatives to the meetings to do what?
Basically, to report slanted news is basically it. I mean, we had a recent meeting in our local
town. I did see a report a few months ago about this. We need to do more on this. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, so they came to, and they said that we had this like big contentious meeting and things like that, and it never happened. The only contention part that happened was at the end of the meeting.
But that's like Snopes and all these groups. They just say it's like Media Matters, that we are a nonpartisan, total authority on facts, and meanwhile their internal memos are, we will destroy them, we will get the alternative media, total power, guerrilla warfare. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And they're isolated in specific states like New Jersey, Massachusetts, Michigan, New York, Connecticut,
yeah, California. They're in blue states. I'm looking at a map. I've read about, stay there, I'm going to come back to you and other callers, even though Bob Chapman's coming up in about 5-6 minutes. We'll get to you while he's on with us. We got Federal Jack under FBI infiltration. It's incredible. It's all coming up. Stay there.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Greg in New Jersey called in and asked me if I knew about Patch.com. And yeah, I'd seen a few news articles in the last 6 months about it. But in the last month, I saw Arianna Huffington admit they're going to take basically their Huffington Post, George Soros people, Media Matters. And they admit Media Matters has got people at Rolling Stone, you know, all these major publications. And a lot of times you don't even know that they're really working for them. And then they have local reporters that go in and then basically slant the news they want. And now Arianna Huffington heads up AOL News. And she's openly talked about trying to shut down people she disagrees with. And that's why the FBI has visited Federal Jack. And that's why Luke's been harassed. And We Are Change. These are patriot, libertarian, transpartisan groups that understand the New World Order. They're doing local reporting. They're confronting politicians. They're getting real news out. And they're getting millions of views and reads a month, just like InfoWars gets tens of millions. And the system is panicking. That's why I could sleep good at night knowing all these new grassroots, truly independently led patriots that have basically spun out of everything I've done and others have done are scaring the system. And so, yes, sir, I was aware of that, and I did notice Arianna Huffington involved in this. But tell us, in New Jersey, you guys had a meeting. What were you talking about? And then what did Patch say about you that wasn't true?
Well, basically, we were having our borough council meeting, and there was just questions about the local budget, and we were trying to clarify things on the budget. And basically, they reported the story wrong, make a long story short. We tried to clarify it with them, and they wouldn't basically correct it. They finally got it right, but the damage is already done. And then when we tried to ask them, we've tried to get them to admit that Arianna Huffington's behind the patches, and they wouldn't own up to it. So at the next borough council
meeting, I had one of the top guys at Media Matters want to interview me 3 months ago, and I had him on the phone, and I said, George Soros is your biggest contributor, and he said, no, he's not. And I pulled up Mainstream News, and I said, here's his filings, million here, million there, and the guy just laughed at me because I was talking to a military operative of the system. I mean, of course, to me, I was a guy in an enemy uniform. Of course, it was nothing. It was funny to him. I mean, these people are total mercenaries.
That's exactly. And the scary thing is that they're designed to kill the true local newspapers, the little, the news packet readers, the little local community papers that you see in your mailbox.
And the mainstream big media will then report on them like they're accurate, just like they say, no one's more accurate than Media Matters, totally nonpartisan, internal memos, we'll destroy the enemy, we'll take over everything, shut down freedom, just get everybody. And then meanwhile, loving, elevator music, we're here to give you the real truth. I mean, these people are sick.
That's exactly it. And I'm not even going to tell you the name of the patch here because I don't want to give them any more publicity than they have coming to them. But at our next borough council meeting, we're going to out them for the basically the agent provocateur.
Well, that's why they're having to, like, when Media Matters gets exposed, they start another group. And then they start another group. And then they start another group. And now, oh, my gosh, we better bring in Arianna and George Soros to run AOL. Attack them. The people are waking up. Get in there and do what you need to deal with them. We've got a problem here.
I can say is I thank you for getting me those glasses, like, if you will, like those glasses that the guy put on in that movie, They Live. Because once I put on my Alex Jones glasses, I finally saw what the truth really was.
Listen, man, if I ever tell the story, it's incredible. All these people, they had move into Austin to act friendly and infiltrate and then to do weird camera angle stuff and manipulate things and try to create infighting. And I'm not even involved in Austin because I'm all over the country. But it's just constant. They work around the clock to attack me, around the clock to create division, around the clock. Just, and there's no way it's just envy and jealousy. And I mean, you just see this stuff for yourself, and this isn't even Patch. It's a gaggle of other people, and it's just like, whoa. I mean, it's like the wolves are on. And just like the fake left, you know, always plays the victim. Oh, they're the victim. They're the victim. You know, I mean, it's just incredible, my friend. I appreciate your call. And Wayne Madsen's leaving the country after direct State Department, mainstream media, and another foreign government warning that they do have a hit out on him. He's leaving. It was like Chapman said, who had to leave years ago, the U.S. He said, Alex, they'll make you leave someday. I don't know. I think I'll just go down, you know, whatever. Whew. I mean, I just can't. But I do have a family. Who knows? If I run, though, and live to fight another day, I mean, then everybody else will do it. And now they've visited Federal Jack, the FBI.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Here's some of the news at GCNlive.com, also at Infowars.com. Outrage and disgusted. Congressman introduces legislation to bar TSA from groping children. That's Representative Jason Chaffetz of Utah. That's at GCNlive.com. Why are Republicans so silent on the falling dollar? From Forbes. We got that linked up at GCNlive.com. Another one, Rand Paul. Pentagon thinks it's too big to be audited. No serious budget cuts proposed in Washington. Meanwhile, scientists warn future drugs will be designed to control human mind. Out of Natural News at GCNlive.com. Truth Shock by Rachel Woodhouse, how Alex Jones and GCN have revitalized the talk radio industry, and Talkers is saying that as well. Banksters cook up economic snake oil for Egypt. That's just some of what we're going to cover for the last 20 minutes with Bob Chapman riding shotgun, because he's an expert who's experienced this. We've got one of the founders of Federal Jack, a kind of a We Are Change type affiliated liberty organization that reports original news, asks politicians serious questions at events. Al Gore, you name it. I mean, they've confronted everybody all over the country. We Are Change has, but Federal Jack popping up everywhere as well. I got an FBI visit today asking if they knew any terrorists or anything about terrorism. So it's on, a good way to intimidate people. He'll be popping in. Also, Obama's approval rating, again, continues an all-time low for any president this far into their first term, but he doesn't care. His mission is to get his job done and be politically destroyed and take the blame so a new row of shark teeth, a new puppet, can come in. Meanwhile, talking about the TSA, TSA secretly looks at people who complain about TSA security. They're telling them if somebody complains, they're probably just a terrorist. Oh, there's this doctor doesn't like his 6-year-old having you stick their hands down your pants after body scanning them? Must be a terrorist. What did the feds say about, and what did Southern Poverty Law Center say about Bernard von Nuthaus, 13 years selling silver coins, openly criticizing the Fed? Wasn't counterfeiting. He was issuing coins like thousands of groups do, over a dozen private independent mints. I could go, you could go, and order one coin or 1,000, get them printed up. They said, well, this is a unique type of terrorist. Now, Bob Chapman, we've talked a lot about this today, and I had the head of the American Small Business League, hundreds of thousands of members on. He's been threatened. He's been harassed. I've been threatened. I've been harassed. You had him try to plant hand grenades on you, harass you legally. You had to leave the country after decades of this. And I don't blame you. You know, you live to fight another day on all these talk shows and your newsletter, the International Forecaster. You helped publish and did put out as the co-author of the Gary Allen Report. His son now, of course, founded Politico, another journalist. You helped put out an Undare Call conspiracy, you helped fund G. Edward Griffin. You've done so much, and they ran you out of the country. Now they're trying to harass other grassroots media groups that do a great job sending the FBI out to them. And we were just talking about AOL and Arianna Huffington, who says she wants to get rid of the alternative media and, you know, shut down anybody that she disagrees with. I mean, these are tyrannical statements. They're not liberals at all. They just fill that vacuum for liberals that are looking for the alternative. They've got this patch website AOL runs with reporters, and I've seen this in the news, not just an earlier caller, going out and trying to, like, spin things against the Tea Party. You got the Republicans from the right-hand flank trying to take over the Ron Paul Tea Party, started almost 4 years ago in 2007. Fox announcing this is the two-year anniversary of the Republican Tea Party. So they're really trying to take over the grassroots and steer it, and they're accelerating their intimidation right now. Is that because they're weak and scared?
Well, as you said last week, we're breathing down their neck. And they don't know what to do about it. And they're trying to find ways to shut down effective talk radio and things on the internet. And they're not going to stop. They're going to keep it up. And they're going to keep right on threatening people, hoping to scare them into silent submission. And that's the way they do it. And, you know, your comment about the person you talked to at that media company, and when you confronted them, they just laughed. They don't care. They think that they can do anything that they want.
Yeah, these cowards get off on feeling like the power structure is behind them. They feel powerful through it. They should feel like dirty rats, and they should know the system's going to crush them as well.
Well, unfortunately, they don't realize that. And we've seen that happen over and over again in other societies and situations. But they're doing what they get paid for, and they don't care what the fallout is. They just want to do what they want to do, and they do like that power trip, that's for sure.
What do you think about Wayne Madsen, a very credible guy? I mean, over the years, he's just proven to be so bona fide, written for some of the biggest publications in the country, contributor to RT, you know, was the guy that got us the DC Madam on, and he got from the State Department, a major international media outlet, and via a foreign, quote, allied U.S. government. He wouldn't tell me which one. And that quote, they are going to kill you or try to kill you. And he said, well, you mean, is that a threat or they're joking? He goes, no, they're coming after you. He's leaving the country, Bob. And, I mean, he was a guy who, I was watching him on video Skype when he said it. I asked it repeatedly. I could tell when he said it, he was almost gulping. This is a guy who just a year ago was like, yeah, I get threats, so what? I'm a, you know, I'll take care of myself. Now, from these, he's leaving, I guess, to live to fight another day. But, I mean, this is really serious.
It certainly is. And I get the same kind of call from a friendly 9 years ago, and same sort of thing. And but I had gotten used to it because over the years I had heard that sort of thing a number of times. And you know all the things I went through without repeating them. But the important thing is they're not going to give up. They're going after everybody because they don't know what else to do. They can't shut us down. And the truth is permeating the world. I just got off of Radio Tehran, Press TV. They call me all the time. They never ask me what I think of what's going on in Iran. But anyway, they call me frequently. And that goes all over the Middle East.
Yeah, I'm so busy. I'm not able to do it. When they call me, they call me every week, and they always call when I'm on the air. But, you know, I do the Japanese, the Russian, the British. I do it all when I can, and it's good that you're getting the word out there. I don't think the globalists and their minions understand the genie's out of the bottle. I mean, that's not me just hoping. That's clear historical evidence. They've been discredited, and they could get rid of us today. It's not going away. People now get it, and I think this is a very good sign that they're getting so threatening.
Well, you're absolutely right, and now the next step for us is to reach an even greater audience throughout the world and overwhelm them with people who know what's going on. And that's so very, very important because that's really what we're doing here. And yes, we're going to get harassed, and so what? I mean, you've got a family, you're young, it's different from you sticking your neck out. Me, I get several years left, and that's probably the end of it. But that makes me go forward and be more acute in what I do and more effective, hopefully, and take some of the heat off other people.
Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose, Bob.
That's exactly right. And what song was that? I forget which one it was.
Bobby McGee. I believe that's the name of the song, isn't it? Bob, I wanted to get into some of the incredible developments. I see this, and Lou Dobbs tended to agree when he was on for 37 minutes with us in the first hour. That retransmission's coming up in about 45 minutes, folks, if you missed it, on the audio streams and the free podcast for your local stations that re-air it. But remember 3 years ago, 2008, October, the Republican and Democratic banker leaders came out and said, if you don't give us unlimited money, we're going to destroy the economy. It'll be a depression. Well, now Geithner has publicly stated, this is CNBC, Republicans will be to blame if U.S. defaults, Geithner. And he says, if we don't increase taxes and keep the spending going, there'll be a default of the dollar. But every economist I talk to says that's what's already causing the default. China announcing they're going to cut even, you know, more of the treasuries they buy. Over 70% of the treasury is now being bought by the Federal Reserve itself, monetization. So what does this signify for him saying we're, quote, at the edge and they will own responsibility for the miscalculation? So they're saying dollar default, total depression, if we don't just do whatever they say.
Exactly. And that's what Hank Paulson said, what you were referring to. If you don't do what we want, we'll bring the whole system down. And at the time, we were on the radio, and I said, take your best shot, because you're going down with us.
Yeah, it's time to call them. We can't give in anymore. I mean, it's time to say, okay, right. let's just do it. Come on.
No, we got to stand our ground. And it's going to be painful for a lot of people like me and you, but I'm not going to back off.
But it does, again, show the desperation now, the flouncing around.
They are telegraphing the fact that we're breathing down their neck, to quote Alex, and that's exactly what's happening. And they're terrified, but they're not going to let you know that. And, you know, when we saw Brzezinski 3 years ago and then about a year and a half ago say, these people know what we're up to, they're getting the word out, you got to find a way to stop them or something to that effect.
Well, the State Department came out 2 months ago and said the alternative media is killing us in the info war. They said the internet and other foreign news is destroying us. We have no credibility. And a bunch of other top globalists came out and they are ringing the alarm in their inner councils.
Well, you're right. And, you know, unless they pick us all up and incarcerate us, they're not going to stop us.
But wouldn't that, now that we've already gotten our message out, wouldn't that only supercharge our message?
Yes, it would. But I would rather reach as many people as possible without the supercharge. Not a lot of people can handle jail.
Yeah, I certainly don't want to be there, but... You know, some things are worth anything, and it's a good feeling, actually, to already be so committed and so far down the rat hole that there's no getting out of it, Bob. You know, I mean, that is really a good feeling, isn't it?
It certainly is. We've done what we've done, and we're in it. They're trapped, we're trapped, and it's a challenge all the way.
Toe-to-toe with the globalist. Make no mistake, folks, and hey, it's a dangerous proposition. I welcome you to join us in Destiny and Honor. Because you're already in the system whether you decide to fight it or not. So why not go down swinging, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back with Bob Chapman. By the way, we did a Google search term earlier in the week just to test it, Alex Jones, and it went to number one, the power of this audience. But we did two TSA search terms, and the first one was a little complex, 6-year-old groped. That didn't even show up on the charts, in the top 100. So we did TSA lies. Didn't show up anywhere yesterday. No doubt they're censoring that being in the top trends. Because we had, I don't know, more than 10 TSA top trends back in November and December. And now we've noticed we cannot put out a term against the TSA that will then become number one. And everybody goes to our articles and reads about what they're doing. We got them on the ropes. So go get the article the old-fashioned way. Outraged and disgusted, congressman introduces legislation to bar TSA from groping children. It's by Steve Watson at prisonplanet.com. It just went up a few minutes ago, 30 minutes ago or so. I don't know if it's on Infowars.com yet, but if it isn't, We will get it up there on the site. Yes, it's up there. Outraged and disgusted, Congressman introduces legislation to bar TSA from groping children. Bob Chapman, I want to take a few calls with you when we come back, and then get, and I want you to stay with us, one of the founders of Federal Jack, alternative media patriot organization, liberty organization, on with us, guerrilla media, really. Got the FBI visit today. But before we do that, other areas in the economy I haven't touched on or I haven't discussed. Is this a big deal to have China further trimming holdings of U.S. securities? Now we learned 2 months ago in February.
Well, the problem here is that if they trim, and the Japanese have to be sellers because of their financial problems to address their earthquake damage, then who is going to buy U.S. Treasuries? They're buying about 83% of the Federal Reserve right now. They might have to buy them all, and that would be devastating. But how can they do that if they don't have QE3 or something like it? So that tells you that they must have QE3, and that's what little Timmy Geithner is talking about. We must have it. You must let us do what we want.
And that causes a devaluation of the currency and will cause the hyperinflation that is a de facto slow kill default. So they're saying if you don't let us default, then we will default.
Precisely. And, you know, gold and silver, of course, will go up very, very large. But one of the big holders in gold is a fellow named George Soros.
Oh.
In fact, I'm watching Sky out of London right now, and they just had that on there. I was rather surprised.
No, I had seen that he's got untold hoards, just like Gaddafi. So he'll do quite nicely.
Well, that's if he is not brought to trial, and that's a whole other story, because we're going to win. And once we get there, we'll have to decide who the criminals are. I mean, you saw Congress, the Senate, Senate 11 said, hey, you know, why doesn't anybody go to jail? Well, after being in Congress as long as he has, he knows why. The anointed ones and the Illuminati, they don't go to jail. And all the fines are paid by the companies to the SEC that goes in, and that money is used to work against the American people.
Yeah, the SEC shuts down all the legitimate mom and pops. I was looking at the $376 billion laundered in 2 years by Wachovia and Wells Fargo of drug money, running the aircraft, everything through Wachovia, and they paid $101 million fine. We did the math. That's 3.0% or 0.3%. So that'd be like if I robbed $1 million and was coming out of the bank, loading it in a van, and the cops pull up and they say, Mr. Jones, you got to pay $3,000 of that million as a fine to us, but you can take the other $997,000 with you. I mean, that's what we're talking about here.
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, I saw a fine of $550 million that was paid by Goldman Sachs for cheating and defrauding people during the mortgage problem. We'll just put it that way. And they stole $5 billion. So they got to keep almost $4.5 billion for being a thief. And this Warren Buffett, his firm, defrauded the United States government of $300 million about a year ago. The piece with the SEC was done. They paid a $100 million fine and kept $200 million. Now, I think crime pays in America.
And by the way, when they get those billions, they leverage them through fractional reserve banking and derivatives. So a billion is more like $50 billion, right, Bob?
That's right.
We'll be back with some of your phone calls. Then we've got one of the founders of Federal Jack on. He got a visit from the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
I we start to know too much, the fraud of the globalist will crumble into dust. Just like when sunlight at high noon hits the mythical vampire, they explode into flame. Knowledge is power. The people perish for lack of knowledge, and we are here bringing historical facts and knowledge. I want to take a few phone calls for Bob Chapman from Justin, Nick, Bill, Wayne, Aaron. We'll get to everybody. But we also have coming on the broadcast Shane Justice here in 5-6 minutes, who goes by Popeye, one of the hardest working founders of Federal Jack. That's basically inspired by We Are Change and my work. And they're patriots. They confront Al Gore. They confront Republicans as well. They expose the fraud of global, man-made global warming. They've gotten the FBI visit. So we're going to be discussing that. And the FBI is asking if they know any terrorists. In Miami, an intimidation of the free press, just brazen COINTELPRO type activity. Bob Chapman is our guest right now. Also, we have an article at Infowars.com with the federal government, State Department, and others. It's official. Arab Spring subversion, U.S. funded by a great researcher and writer, Tony Cartolucci. This whole thing we told you months ago was staged, but now they're just admitting it. Unbelievable. Justin in Missouri, you're on the air with Bob Chapman. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? It's good to talk to you again.
Good. Welcome, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, I called with a question for Bob originally, but you drew me off, of course, and so I have other things to talk about. But the thing for Bob is I was wondering how he feels about junior miners, particularly the silver sector. And where's that going?
What you have to look at here, and there's not being much talked about it, and that is the United States government is using hedge funds to naked short all of the gold and silver stocks. And just like that's part of what they're doing to gold and silver itself and other things. And that's why they haven't performed as well as they should. You'll see a very good quality company move up, and bang, it goes right back down again. And that's them doing that in behalf of the government, and that's what's going on.
Okay. My other point was, you were talking about getting involved. I just want to say that recently I started making a little series on YouTube called Alex Jones and the Truth Tellers, because I figured I need to start putting something out there, too, because it's just getting to that point. Everybody needs to start.
Everybody needs to. Thank you, Justin. Your phone's breaking up. A few more calls, and we're going to get our guests and back to calls. Nick in Illinois, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Alex, this is Nick from Chicago. How are you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I have an idea that might work. It's kind of crazy, but I've heard Donald Trump wanted to run as an independent if he doesn't win the GOP. Now, if that's the case, if he doesn't win, I think Ron Paul and Jesse Ventura should reach out to him, and they all three should work together and put their egos aside and work together.
Well, here's the deal. I've been trying to study Trump now that he looks like he may actually, I may be wrong, he may actually run. Listening to him, I'm a pretty good judge, and I think he's considering it. He is against NAFTA and GATT, but he's also involved in that corruption in New York. I'm not saying he's corrupt. I'm saying he's involved in that corrupt cesspool. He's a donor to Chuckie Schumer and others. I think a lot of this is Bloomberg's going to run, probably. He's total anti-gun, bad news. And Trump could pull off conservative votes and then throw it over to Bloomberg. Let's ask a real expert on this. What's your take, Bob Chapman, on Donald Trump?
He has made his fortune in the belly of the beast. And when you're in that kind of a situation with the bankers, the Wall Street types, you're with them, you're in with them. I can't trust them. That's really the bottom line to me. I know what he said on issues, and we still don't know whether he's front-running for somebody else, as you pointed out, Bloomberg. I'd much rather see an independent ticket with Ron Paul and Warrior, which is Jesse. And so the facts aren't all in yet, number one. And number two, I'm frightened by his background.
Well, that's my gut. So I spent like an hour last night just doing more research. I'm going to try to do an hour every day now so we can get a clearer research on him. I'm not really ready to completely give my view on him, but obviously you can't trust him just because of the pedigree. And we did just lose our guest. We're going to try to get him back on and go to Sean Justice, again known as Popeye on their YouTube channel and federaljack.com. We post a lot of their videos on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. They work with We Are Change. They've confronted Al Gore. The list just goes on. And we do have him now. Okay, great. We're going to go ahead and bring him up on air now. Then we'll go back to your calls. Sean Justice, again, early this morning when he was asleep, gets the FBI visit. They weren't forthcoming with their names. I talked to him this morning. I said, you got to call the FBI that's 3 miles away there in Miami. He called them. They wouldn't give him the names. He's filed a complaint saying, I need to know, were these FBI agents that came? Yeah, but it's the standard procedure. They come and they say, do you know any terrorists? Is there any terrorist in your group? What about this guy? What about that guy? Don't tell anybody about this meeting. We just want to, you know, because sometimes they can go talk to somebody. They get intimidated. And then they'll be like a minion of the FBI and then basically go in and start reporting on people. But Federal Jack is completely nonviolent media outlet that goes out and asks politicians real questions. And so breaking this down, Sean is still trying to learn their names because in the flustered moment, in the 10 minutes or so they were there, he didn't ask it. And I asked him what he said. It was a standard deal. Well, of course I don't know any terrorists. We wouldn't hurt a fly. We're just regular folks. My response would be, you're here to intimidate me, and you know full well we're a nonviolent organization. You know full well we're getting millions of YouTube views, and we're out asking politicians real questions, and you don't like that. And I want your card. I want your information right now. Because this is, there have been congressional hearings on this decades ago about what you're doing right now. Who sent you here? Why were you sent here? The interrogation would have flipped around. But I'm not blaming people. This has got to happen to you once or twice before you know how to respond to it. He did a great job trying to go down there. He did a great job trying to talk to him later and find out who they are. Sean Justice, known as Popeye. And Bob Chapman's riding shotgun with us. He's been through all this before, so he can comment from his expertise. Breakdown, you're in Miami, what they said, what they did. You've got the floor. Describe what happened.
Well, first off, I'd like to thank you, Alex, for having me on the show. And pretty much, I was asleep this morning because if anybody knows me, it's not a secret. My wife is disabled, so I have a different sleep schedule, and I was up late taking care of her. And they kind of caught me off guard this morning. And they said, when I opened the door, they were like, you know, do you mind if we come in? And he started to step in the door. I put my hand up and I said, yeah, I do mind. We'll do this outside. And then I had the presence of mind to at least not let him in my house, in my apartment. So we went outside and then I asked him, why are you here? What's the, you know, can I help you? What's the reason for your visit? And they said, well, we'd like to ask you a few questions. I said, okay, go ahead. Ask me what. And, you know, if I'm going to answer, I'll answer, and I'll do as best as I can to answer the truth for you. What do you want to know? Because I have nothing to hide. You know, I'm not affiliated with any radical group, you know, so we're nonviolent. So I don't have anything to hide or anything to worry about. I was just a little caught off guard because I just woke up. I did, after I replayed the conversation in my head, after talking to you on the phone earlier, I did ask them for a card. And I asked them if I could have a card to contact them because they said, well, if you know of any terrorist organizations or has any radical organization contacted you, and I kind of laughed at it, and I was like, no, like I wasn't mean or rude to them, but I kind of acted like almost a little insulted towards it, and I was like, we don't know any terrorist organizations, and he goes, well, I know you've been active in your local city council meeting because we go in. We educate them about fluoride, and I constantly go every time and educate them about
knowledge. Yeah, so the message is, we're here, you might be a terrorist because you don't like poison being put in your water. So the idea is people that go to city council meetings, you know, they could be terrorists, which is basically what the Homeland Security documents say. If you make frequent references to the U.S. Constitution, they need to surveil you. So we have their training manuals going back at least 15 years. That's what's going on. And I just told the guys to try to pull up a YouTube video from Austin. I think the search term was Austin woman, FBI visits mother or woman for attending anti-war rally. And the FBI comes to her door, man and woman. They want to come in. She says no. It's all on YouTube. She videotaped it. And they say, well, we just want to know why you're protesting the war. I mean, it was very bizarre. But this is what they do now in America. But I just remembered that video. This is ongoing. And so you did a great job, because I know they caught you off guard. Please continue. So they say, well, we know you go to city council meetings, which is a big no-no in America. That's un-American. Please continue with what happened next.
They even made the comment to me of saying that, you know, oh, we know you've gone to city council meetings, you know, you sign in when you go. And we don't sign in. The only thing you fill out is a form so that you can speak, you know, so they say your name and everything.
Speak up a little bit for me, Popeye.
Sorry about that. When you go to the council meetings, you have to fill out like a form.
Yeah, and they're using that now to send the FBI to your house. That's FBI now going over city council sign-ins. Boy, that's useful info. Go ahead.
And that's the only way that they could have gotten my info either, because there's no, through federal jack, I've always tried to kind of remain a little bit somewhat anonymous just to protect my wife. Not for me, but to protect my wife, because she can't protect herself. And I know that they pray and go after the weak, and they go after the weak people and the family members. And that's why I called back to the FBI and I complained to them. And I said, look, you know, how do I know that these aren't fake FBI agents? Because the lady I spoke to on the phone said, well, they should have given you a card. And I said, well, you know, I did ask for one, and they told me just to call the hotline number if I had any tips. I said, you know, how do I know these guys are FBI? How do I know they're not going to break into my house and hurt my wife? I said, so I'm going to, you know, I filed the complaint, and, of course, they haven't called me back. You know, I don't expect a call back, to be honest with you. I honestly, looking back at this, I think it was more of a, look, you're opening your mouth. We don't like what you're doing. Shut up. And I won't tolerate that. The more you threaten me, anybody that knows me, the more you threaten me, the harder I fight. So, you know, that's why I was willing to let you guys use my real name, because obviously the feds know who I am now, so there's no point in hiding. But I will say to any feds that are listening, if you threaten my family, you threaten my wife, and you hurt my wife, then there will be no stopping what I will do to end the NWO. Non-violently, of course. But I will not stop at all. So don't threaten my wife. Don't come here. Because they knew she was disabled. And that was the real creepy part, Alex, is that they knew certain things about my life. And I don't care, again, about me, but you threaten my wife. As you know, you've had some phone calls. You threaten my wife, I have a real problem with that.
What else did they say to you while they were there?
They acted friendly, but they were, you know, I could see the guy was eyeing me up and down. I have tattoos, so he goes, oh, you were in the Coast Guard, huh? What was your job in the Coast Guard? And I looked at him, and I was like, I was a firefighter. And I wouldn't go into any other details, because I didn't even need to give him that information, you know. But since he was obviously digging, I figured I would just give him a brief bit, and that's all. And then they tried, I had a bandage on my arm, because I recently had surgery to fix some nerve damage from when I was in the military, and because I'm a 100% disabled veteran, and they knew that too. You know, they knew that I didn't work. They knew I was disabled. They knew my wife was disabled. So obviously I struck a nerve.
Well, you do work. You're up 24 hours a day sometimes, literally putting out hundreds of videos. You're on fire. We have an article from the Activist Post. Mother of five gets FBI visit for exercising First Amendment. It's also up on Infowars.com. You can just type that in and put Infowars.com into the end of it and find it. And we're going to skip ahead in the video for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers here and actually show people the FBI at the Austin mother's door. And they said, you went to a anti-war rally. Why are you doing that? Are you a terrorist? So in America, in Austin, Texas, you do not exercise your First Amendment or you get an FBI visit. I mean, what has it come to in this country?
We're just a police state now. You know, the country I remember growing up in and the country I took an oath to defend is dead. It died a long time ago, and it's got a huge sword in its heart. It says New World Order Rothschild. You know, it's horrible. And the people are so dumbed down through mind control, and, you know, they use so many different forms of it now. People are so, they don't care. You know, you had Bob come on Fridays and tell people, look, this is the future of the economy. Pay attention. And yet you still have morons that are more worried about Lady Gaga or MTV than their future. Oh, Barack Obama will take care of it. You know, the fact that there's still Obama zombies out there just blows my mind.
Well, you're absolutely right. Bob Chapman, what's your take on what's happened to this individual who's one of the founding members, Sean Justice, known as Popeye?
Well, I think it's par for the course. And the information that they've gleaned from your records is to be able to make them be a familiar figure to you, somebody that you can trust, which is them, and so they can get more information out of you. And that's why they do that. But they've had, you know, they've gone over your dossier, which I'm sure the government has. And and that's why they're doing, asking those kinds of questions about your military service and so on. They know the answers, but they have to bring it up to you so you'll trust them.
Well, also, they have federal laws that are unconstitutional, but they still do it. They'll say lying to the FBI, they could charge you and put you in prison if you weren't, if you had been in the Coast Guard and then lied to them about it. So that's another thing that they do. It's just incredible. But hey, don't worry, FBI agents. The banks have stolen all the money. The government's poisoning your children's water supply. And you think you're part of the winning team. So good job. Good job.
Yeah, I did tell them about that. I gave them a lecture about fluoride, actually, when they brought up the city council meeting.
Was it real funny to them? Was it real funny?
He was smirking throughout. Like, he didn't laugh, but he had that little smirk that, you know, that government agent smirk that they get.
It's like, hey, I'm a government agent. Radiation doesn't hurt me. DU doesn't hurt me. Fluoride in my kids' water doesn't hurt me. You know, he's God. You're not. You're a little piece of trash.
That's basically...
You're just a disabled veteran piece of trash to him. Remember, the government hates veterans more than anybody in their own internal documents. Correct, Bob?
He took note of that, not to interrupt you, Alex, but he did take note of that, too, because I have two stickers in my window that says... Afghanistan veteran and Iraq veteran, because I served during both conflicts, and that kind of piqued his interest.
Well, yeah, because you're an evil terrorist. I mean, in their internal documents, they say veterans are the number one threat. They hate you. See, what the FBI, the TSA, and all the rest of them can't get is when a government goes corrupt, they now are agents of that corrupt system. So no matter what the corrupt system tells them to do, they keep following it because they're the good guys. Now, we couldn't find the original video. It was online, but it was taken down, unedited. I have one somebody else grabbed and put images into, but I'm going to play 30 seconds or so. This FBI agent's there saying, well, we know you went to this anti-war rally, and we just want to ask if you know about any plans for violence. And this, you know, this is a mother, you know, whole nine yards, a professional. I remember her bio. And she just says, well, I'm going to take the fifth on that. I wouldn't even have done that because I mean self-incrimination. I says, no, your business, pal, First Amendment. I mean, what do you know about Anwar al-Awlaki secretly hanging out at the Pentagon? What do you know about the FBI running all this stuff? I mean, just leave. You know, you're not dealing with somebody here that doesn't know your bosses are the terrorist. I mean, let's just get down to brass tacks here. The game's over. Let's play part of this clip. Here's the video audio, the FBI here in Austin.
Nothing.
You'll just leave?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, but I'm still curious. Go ahead and ask away.
Well, I've asked a question. Do you know of any plans to destroy any property?
I'm going to plead silence on that. Next question.
Okay. That's it. I mean, we just want to make sure everybody stays safe.
Stay safe. Okay, great. Great.
Do you know of any concerns that you would have concerning us being here?
Yes, I'm very concerned that I get a knock on my door from the FBI. Very concerned about it. And I think a lot of people will want to hear about this.
Do you have any questions for us?
Well, who's your next person that you're going to stop to here in Austin or in Texas?
I can't tell you that.
You can't tell me that.
If you want our card, this is...
All right,
that's enough.
Card.
It goes on and on. The point here is that it's been confirmed that Obama has ordered the Border Patrol not to arrest illegals, only to do a few for a small public quota. Total war, crime, mass murder going on, mass graves every few days being found. Nobody cares. You wonder why people don't have more anti-war protests. Folks, my guys... had the police in Pittsburgh come because they tried to go talk to the military. We put it all out in Police State 4, Rise of FEMA. Politely, hey, can we talk to your your press person, we were given this number. We want to talk about the military being involved in this. And they said, no, just get out of here. Then the police called my office, called the guys at the hotel, knew where they were, and said, yeah, we're investigating you for a plan to blow us up. And that you guys were running around, sneaking around. It was all lies. I mean, it's like the message is, you're bad because you speak out. In closing, talking to Sean Justice, who got this FBI visit, more people need to start their own We Are Change, Federal Jack, Info Warriors, Tyranny Response Team. More people need to get involved, start blogs, encounter George Soros and the feds. They are scared. You guys have confronted, Sean, a lot of globalists with serious questions. Name some of the folks that you guys have gone and been real journalists and asked questions of.
We got Fareed Zakaria when he was down here at FIU giving a speech about globalism. We tag teamed him with We Are Change Tampa, and we did the same thing at an Al Gore event. And the two of them, when just like the rest of these globalists, when you confront them, like Fareed Zakaria, for example, we did it in a wave. We had one person stand up videotaping and a couple others hidden videotaping. And then while he confronted and got thrown out, the next person would stand up so that the topic would not be able to go away.
Yeah, they know you're not violent. They've assessed you. They're scared of you confronting globalist kingpins. Bob Chapman, we're on the march. The globalist empire is on the run.
And you're absolutely right. And what a great program.
Well, it's we got to stand together and hang separate. I know there are good people in the FBI. Choose which side you're on now. Don't rationalize and play games anymore. People confronting Al Gore over lies about climate change. You don't deserve an FBI visit for that. America is being taken over by the globalist. You know what, Sean Justice, known as Popeye, FederalJack.com, I want to commend you for what you're doing. Let's see more people get involved in Federal Jack across the country. Just as Luke got intimidated and attacked, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, and I supported him, look where he's at. Our listeners, the answer is more people standing up, and we'll be in contact with you, Popeye, and you too, Bob Chapman.
Thanks a lot, Alex. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you. Lou Dobbs is coming up in 1 minute. InfoWars.com. It was powerful.